Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Oh, good times. Let's see. Well, I'm going to part with 10 grand today.
Wow.
$10,000 because of our Outbook August and April competition.
That's today, huh?
That is today. We will decide on a winner. It'll be one of these things. I'll be like one of these TV judges, you know. I'll listen to what everyone has to say. If you have anything you want to sway me with or document you'd like to have the bailiff bring up to me, well, I'll take a look at it, and then ultimately I'll render a judgment. I will take almost everything under consideration. You people can call in, tell us what you think. We'll go online, tell us what you think, Teresa, Danny, and then ultimately I'll render a decision. It'll feel fair, but this is going to be close.
Yeah.
Good morning, Teresa Strasser, by the way. Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Oh, I had a horrible night last night.
You do?
I had that sore throat thing, and I'm a mouth breather. It's part of being dumb. I breathe out of my mouth. My nose doesn't work very well, so I sleep with my mouth open, and that's fine most of the time, except for when I get a sore throat, it's a painful night, because when you get a sore throat, you want to close your mouth and breathe out of your nose because it really gets raw, but I have no choice. I'll suffocate. So had a horrible sore throat last night, and then just had horrible sort of weird dreams. Weird dream. The first dream, I was up on my mom.
Uh-oh.
Wait.
Not on my mom.
Let me get
on the roof.
Let me get Freud on the line.
Break out!
I was on the roof of my mom's house. I grew up, my grandmother had two houses in the valley, one two bedroom, one bathroom little place she lived in North Hollywood, and then one crappier place she let us live in North Hollywood. It was just a crappy little 1,000 square foot, one bathroom, wasn't laid out correctly. It was weird. It had like two front doors because it was 100 years old, and they used to think that was an office for like a dentist and stuff. It was a really effed up old weird house, and it had a really steep pointy roof. And my whole childhood, the roof was falling off. The roof was probably 40 years old when I moved in. It was that composite shingle asphalt stuff. And what it would do is, the asphalt was melting away, so all the little pebbles would constantly come down and slide down the roof. And we constantly would have to sweep the porch because there would just be pebbles. It'd be like you'd be rolling around on the little gravel. And the roof never leaked because it was so steep. The pitch was so steep, the water would just go flying right off it, as opposed to a flat roof, which will always leak no matter how good you patch it, because anytime you have standing water, you have a penetration problem, right, T?
That's right.
No, I'm talking to you. You have a penetration.
I heard that from a mile away.
Right.
Already at 6:02.
Well, don't look at it as early. Look at it as late, T. So my family was like, there's poor, and then there's poor and stupid. My family was poor and stupid. They would do things like, you know, the porch was falling apart. The whole place was falling apart. It was constantly falling apart. And my mom was really depressed. And when you're depressed, you can barely lift yourself, much less a broom, a hammer, a paintbrush. You can't do those things. So everything around you just starts coming undone. Your car comes undone. Your house comes undone. You come undone.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a little, I know what song you're referencing. She's come undone. Anyway, yeah, here's the point. You look at people and you go, wow, look at the person's wrong song. You look at the person's, but it's right there. Yeah, this is Duran Duran. Yeah, you got to go to the K Earth Library to get the song we're talking about. Point. Where was I?
I'm not exactly sure.
I don't know where the point is. Chaos.
Right. And then you make stupid decisions, and you make them out of cheapness and desperation. Like my grandfather, who was the only one who really ever got anything done in my family, he decides this decrepit porch in this decrepit house needs to be rebuilt because somebody's going to fall through it. But he wants to save a couple of ducats. So what's he do? he buys used lumber. Now, I didn't even know you could buy used lumber, but evidently he did, and he bought used lumber. But he bought used lumber from evidently a pier that had burnt down. Yes, there's no worse you can do in the used lumber department. So,
I'm sorry, probably not great lumber. And it wasn't kind of bad mojo.
It wasn't like, hey, yeah, it wasn't. Hey, they got this when they took down Martha Stewart's gazebo.
Right.
This was a pier that burnt down. The lumber was twisted, had char marks on it, and was filled with termites. So we then rebuilt the porch, but using uneven, twisted, crappy lumber, and it was probably worse than it was. Point is, my grandfather saved $80 in lumber, but the labor was exactly the same, and we ended up with a horrible product for another 10 years, which is what I want everyone to think about. You don't think you can afford it?
Can you afford to have a crappy porch for another
10 years?
Learned that lesson the hard way a couple of times, trying to save money and go a cheaper way, and just it costs you a fortune almost always. But I do want to build a small altar to the salesman.
Mm-hmm. What happened? Oh, the guy sold the lumber?
A burnt down pier with termites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There should be a salesman hall of fame with, you know,
it's the guy that sells the snow to the Eskimos.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But he's a myth.
Yeah.
This guy is a Corolla.
So this guy, So the point is
this
the house...
This was all in your dream, by the way.
The house was... No, this is where I grew up. I wish it was a dream. But yes, the part where the roof starts coming down. So...
Yeah, but the wood thing's real.
Everything is real. So I grew up in this chaotic, kind of screwed up, messy, dilapidated thing. And that's why I'm the opposite now. I want everything to be in its place. But in my dream, I was up on the roof, and the roof was peeling off and fall. And again, another great Corolla decision is eventually, after the roof literally just coming down for 10 or 20 years, it was decided that a new roof needed to go on. Now, the house has a rake on the roof that's so steep you can't walk around. You have to tie yourself off. Putting a new roof on this house is all labor. The material for roofing is, you know, $100 for 100 square feet or something. It's nothing. But getting up on this roof with this pitch and installing said roofing is a much more expensive part of the process. Although still the shrewd Corollas decided to go with the 15-year roof instead of the 30-year roof. The 30-year roof would have cost another $20 100 square feet. But they decided, let's save another $80 and go with the cheap roof. Well, you want to talk about retarded, because the cheap roof and the expensive roof are exactly the same to install. The material costs more, but the installation is the same. And the installation is 85% of the job, you idiots. But no, we saved another $150 and went with the cheap. Of course, that was 20 years ago, so that needed to be redone. You buy a roof, you can get a 20-year roof, you can get a 30-year roof.
Now, see, because I don't know anything... I never believe that. I think if I buy the 20-year roof or the 30-year roof, it's the same roof.
No, I
believe that there's really a difference. I just wouldn't know it, so they wouldn't give it to me.
They'll guarantee it. They'll guarantee the product and the material. And again, it's the same weight, and it's the same whatever, and it's the same. It's all about... It's as if you were... I was driving in listening to Danny do an Earl Scheib commercial on the way in, and it's as all... The money's in the labor. It's as if you said, take out all the dents and dings, prep the car, prime the car, mask the car off, do everything. And then at the very end said, I want to go with the cheapest paint you have.
Right.
And they go, but the paint is just, that's $80. That's a small portion of the, that's nothing. And you go, still, I want to save $20. Give me the cheap stuff.
Right.
And they said, all right, but it's going to cost the same to spray it on and, you know, rub it out and everything. It's just not going to last very long. And you said, I don't care. Give me the cheap paint. That's poor on poor crime right there. That's poor meets stupid.
Yeah, and short-sighted.
Poor on stupid crime is fascinating.
Yeah, crumbling roof represents to you the short-sightedness and the poverty and perhaps the stupidity.
It represents the cycle, the negative cycle. We've talked about it. Filling up your car with gas, $5 at a time. because you don't have the money to fill up the entire tank. Right. So you just go put in now $10, $12, which means you stop four times as often. Going to the ATM and taking out $40 instead of maxing it out. So you have to go pay the $2 charge 10 times where somebody just takes out $400, just pays it once. The idea that, and what about your time? Stopping, pulling over, putting yourself in harm's way sometimes and doing that. Think about how much more dangerous it is, how much more time you spend. Your time becomes nothing. You're not worth anything. And that is a horrible, frustrating equation. I don't like that, and it becomes a negative cycle. So my dream was I was on the roof of my house, my mom's house, my old house, and I was redoing it. And I was thinking the whole time, they just done this thing right, you know, a few years ago. I wouldn't be up here. And then I think Ozzy had done the roof, by the way. I was angry at Ozzy.
In your dream.
In my dream. Well, it was his fault. He called me at 9:30 last night. I can't remember what he wanted.
He worked his way into your dream.
He wanted to talk about something at 9:30 last night. You think it's hard to understand Ozzy in person? Oof. Wait till you get that guy in the blower. You have no idea what it is.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to buy Ozzy?
I've been buying new belt buckles. I like my new belt buckles. And there's like this belt buckle kiosk. And it's a rodeo belt buckle. And it says whatever the greatest is. And then it says Nicaragua.
It's like one you won in a,
but you know what? I knew I'd see him when I saw Ray, and I didn't have anything for Ray, so I didn't buy it.
I want to open a kiosk, because I've seen the lay of the land around here called Nothing Simply. It's going to be called Simply Belt Buckles and Brahma Bull Decals. And you come on, and insure us. You come on down. You can get yourself a Brahma Bull decal, put it right on the side of Ozzy's truck, and then get yourself a trash can lid-sized belt buckle. So now, in my dream, and I have no idea why, but I'm now back in the house. And now somebody comes up the walkway. No, somebody drives up. Somebody drives up the driveway, and they're looking for me, and I'm hiding the entire time. And then they start looking around the house. They physically start walking around the house, peering into the windows, and I'm hiding to the point where I'm on the floor and I'm trying to track the person. And then later on, I somehow go into another house and President Bush is living there, just like a regular guy with a bunch of roommates. And then I run into my old roommate, Ralph, and we both go driving to our morning radio gigs. Although we're both in convertibles, and I'm driving a right-hand drive car.
Don't mess with Texas.
And then my throat starts hurting again, and I wake up. And I thought, well, what does it all mean?
What does it all mean? Because I've actually read Freud's interpretation of dreams, and they never mean like what you'd think
they
mean.
Well, only the dreamer can tell you what it means, because the symbols are really only meaningful to you.
It was pretty easy. It was a nice hodgepodge or collage of almost everything that happened earlier that day, just in some sort of weird dream jumble with a little element of angst and danger floating around, but no real imminent danger.
Because being on the roof is dangerous inherently.
Being on the roof, I can't remember what it means. It means something. It's not necessarily only the dreamer can know. There are, I mean,
yeah,
if you believe in
symbols,
that.
Yeah. So,
like there are, theoretically, your teeth falling out.
Right, loss.
Is a dream about money.
Oh,
well, you know, the only reoccurring dream I've ever had, as I've shared before on the show, is I went, you know, going to bed with the sort of, you know, water running or something turned on. Like here's how to give me a horrible night's sleep. You tell me something in the house is on, like the garbage disposal or some light in a closet or something, or some faucet is turned on. I'm not going to tell you where it is. You can't do anything about it. Now go to bed. I will lie there and think, what is on? What's running? Right. What is happening right now that I could stop? That's wasteful. It's driving me nuts. When I used to have this reoccurring dream that I would get bit by an animal, an alligator, a pit bull, something, but not bit and locked onto. So that my leg would be in the alligator's mouth or my forearm would be in the pit bull's mouth, and it was there. And we weren't moving. It was just locked on. And the deal in the dream was I could stay here.
Right.
And slowly bleed to death, or I could rip my arm out, but it would probably take my arm off.
Oh, I've got this so fast. It's a dream about marriage.
It's turned into a dream about marriage. But what it was, I realized, I finally analyzed it and sort of figured it out, which is, it's like, it was me owing money to the IRS, owing money to the credit cards, owing money to the whatever, which is, I can't afford to pay off my debt. I can make the minimum payment to the IRS. I owe them $4,000 so I can pay them $29 a month for tax and penalties and interest and whatever. And by the way, if you look on CNN, there's an alligator as we speak. But the point is I could slowly die by just paying that $29 a month, or I could just declare bankruptcy or leave the country or something, which would be sort of ripping my arm off. But it's this slow death, which is you're making your minimum payment on your credit card. You're making your minimum payment to whoever you owe money to. You're making your minimum payment, fill in the blank. You're never touching the principal. You're just making your minimum payment. That's just interest. That's just penalties. And you're not getting anywhere. But your arm isn't being torn off.
Right. You're treading water, but you're not drowning.
You're slowly bleeding to death. It's painful, but it's not nearly as painful as it's going to be when you try to rip your arm out of the pit bull's grasp. All right.
Now, just real quickly, you've heard these stories of the guy that had his arm trapped under a log and hacked it off with his penknife.
Right.
Yeah, survival instinct
That's
is
why I don't carry a penknife, by the way.
Statue should go up right to that salesman guy statue. Right.
Yeah.
It's just stuff like all-time balls-out guys.
Yeah, we should. There should just be a convention. Who are you? I'm the guy who sold old man Corolla the waterlogged, burnt pier wood with the termites in it. Oh, nice to meet you. But, oh, where's your arm? I'm the guy who used my penknife to... Yeah,
come to my seminar at noon.
But that's weird. You have no arms. Yeah, I'm that kid that lost them both on that auger.
Yes.
And you know I have to have heard that story to know what... I don't even know what an auger is. I just know I can say it.
Yeah,
I thought at first he had them ripped off by an ogre. This cannot be a real CNN story.
This guy did battle with the real Shrek.
This guy's amazing.
We need to take a break. How about we talk to you? 866-901-ADAM. Tell us your reoccurring dream. Maybe we'll analyze it so we can get to the bottom of it. T, you tell us yours, Danny. I wouldn't mind hearing yours either. We stumbled onto it, but let's keep it going. 866-901-ADAM. Tell us your dreams next.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Get fossa, peeps! Big day in the show today! Somebody's gonna walk out of the studio $10,000 richer for winning House Book August! Ah! Imagine what the Jack Man could do with 10 grand! Hair plugs! Hot plugs! Teenage sex tour in Thailand! Leo, pack your bags! Blackjack's taking you on a second honeymoon! And I'm falling!
Hey! Thanks, Jack. Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've not reached our deadline yet. You guys got about another 3 hours and 20 minutes before we get there. I'm declaring it still open season on Celebrity.
It's the Adam Carolla Show.
So anyone who can step up, it's not too late. $10,000.
The leaderboard, who would you say is up there? Jamie Foxx?
I'm just going off memory. Morgan Freeman seemed to be good.
Yeah. I got the list. I'm going to read it off.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
The ones on the website are Morgan Freeman, William Shatner.
Oh, he was good. Mm-hmm.
Ray Liotta did a good interview. Joe Pesci. Eddie Griffin, Kobe Bryant, Jamie Foxx, and Senator John Kerry seem to be the eight leaders.
I feel like Shatner was here in person and was great. On the other hand, Kerry on the phone, politically important and a great interview.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't care what Teresa feels like because it's my goddamn 10 grand and I'll be deciding.
You're the decider.
Yeah, Shatner was good, except for Shatner was pimping his ponies too much.
Yeah, but he said it was pretty. That's all I care about. That really is, he can have my 10 grand if I had it.
I don't want to say there's anything wrong with Shatner's vision, but his head is so swollen that his eyes are swollen shut.
I noticed that.
I was this close to having sex with one of those. No, I mean, it's really like, I don't think he can see anymore. Not that you're not attractive, but I don't know that he has vision anymore. I really don't.
I think you may have some issues. Didn't you just recently say you wanted to have sex with Scarborough's eyes?
Yep. You love eyes.
Well, I can't keep everyone on cable. You know, I can't keep Scarborough and Lou Dobbs and all these. They're just a whole bunch of names. But
except
I always
the
know
guy with vagina eyes.
Scarborough's the guy who looks like he has vagina eyes.
Wait, I smell a song parody. Get Rich Banks on it. She's got vagina eyes.
And let me just, as long as I'm just doling out advice like I know anything, you probably don't want to say anything that starts off like this. I smell vagina. Okay, that's I'm telling you right there. Brian's got it. It's all on tape.
Oh, no.
That's the end of our show today.
That's right.
Cross A. Mahal, and I'm Teresa Strasser. Well, I smell vagina.
Moments ago, you talked about the, Shatner having eye problems and such. But that leads me to one of my anxiety dreams. This is something you probably can't relate to, but a lot of times I have the anxiety dream that there's somewhere I have to be. I can't get ready. I can't find my makeup. I can't find what I'm going to wear. Mm-hmm. And I can't leave the house because I don't look right.
Yeah. No, I have the dream of... I've had a million dreams of... I was playing football once again. I was at my high school. It was halftime, and I couldn't get dressed.
Yeah.
I couldn't get into my uniform.
That's exactly it.
And the game was going on.
Right.
I could hear it in the distance, and the clock was ticking down, but I couldn't get into my uniform. I, by the way, have no dreams of grandeur. I have no dreams of success. No flying, no success, no anything in the good department. I usually wake up relieved.
Yeah.
That my life isn't really the way it was.
How's the game go?
The game, here's every reoccurring football game. Football was a huge part of my life.
I'm not kidding.
My whole life.
I really did read this book. And I mean, it's a book, and book give you information, and I read it. So I just started.
Tell me.
I just want to know one thing. So you're getting ready for the game, but you can't fit into your uniform, or you just can't get it on?
Can't find parts of it?
It starts off that I find out last minute that I get to do something I've been wanting to do. I mean, I guess like somebody who is paralyzed in a wheelchair dreaming they get to go skiing or they get to go do something they formerly loved. For me, I grew up loving football. I love to play football. I love to play football so much that when I was like 10 and I was playing football, I could remember looking at the coaches on our team and feeling sorry for them. You don't get to go out here. You got to stand around with a clipboard.
Okay, but this dream is not about a thing you normally do. This is a dream about Rudy. You're getting your big shot and you're blowing it.
It's me getting to relive something that I used to love and can't do anymore, or have chosen not to do anymore, or just have been unable to do anymore. But first off, I find out I get to do it.
Right.
Oh, you're going to play.
Right.
And I think, oh, great. And then there's a timeline. When?
Yeah.
Now. The game started already. Okay, hustle to the high school. Hustle to the locker room. Now the game's going. The clock is ticking down. Tick, 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 tick. I'm in the locker room, and I can't get ready. I'm putting my stuff on, but I never do quite get suited up and get out onto the field and play. I never get in the game.
That's a parallel of my dream. It's an anxiety dream.
Yeah, it's not that I don't score a touchdown.
Right,
I don't get there, and I've had that dream. And look, I played football for 10 years. I played organized football actually for 11 years, and it's weird that I can't even get on the field in any of these dreams. Yeah.
Not at
SC, though. It's Ballard College.
I've got a basic concept of it. It's not very good.
Uh-oh. Never is. Are they ever flattering? You're thinner than you appear to be and smarter.
It is. I mean, you actually even said the words, the clock is counting down.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
When I was already, according to the book that I've, and books that I've read, also the mystics like Ruiz and stuff. The dream basically, as far as I can tell, means that you believe your best days are behind you.
Mm-hmm.
That you won't ever be better than you are now, and you're now not as good as you once were.
Mm-hmm.
And that no matter, because I don't think, no matter how successful this radio show comes, or the Hammer does, or whatever series you and Kim will come up with next, you're ever going to achieve enough for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter what you achieve. You've already like reached your peak of happiness or success level where you are going to be satisfied. It'll never go from, I remember when I was swinging the hammer to when I bought that Ferrari. It's never going to be that moment for you again, and the clock is kicking down on
interesting.
That.
Interesting. Damn, I miss those juggies.
Yeah.
Danny's right. Damn. Yeah, no, interesting.
It's a dream of
interesting.
Failure. It's emotional failure. The clock is ticking down, and you've already
done what you planned to do, and
it'll never be that good again.
It's an interesting point. And then we'll take your calls, Dan. I'm looking at you from Covina. I got dreams about being shot in Iraq. A very astute point. which is no matter how much success I may achieve, there'll never be the chasm between where I was and when I achieved initial success. Right. So if you make $5 million a year and the next year you make $10 million, well, you've doubled your money. You're making $10 million. That's pretty damn cool. But you've doubled what you made the year before. But when you go from making 14 grand a year to 500 grand a year, we'll do the math.
Right.
That ain't doubling. That's a total change of lifestyle. That's beat up cars and crappy roommates to nice cars and cool houses. That's a totally different situation. So in a way, you're right. They'll never be the gone from rags to riches. They'll just gone from rich to riches,
right.
From rich to a little bit richer. And depending on how you live your lifestyle, you're not moving. You know what I mean? Like when you're poor and you start making money, you move. When you have money and you make more money, you don't move. You drive the same car. You theoretically drive the same wife until she gets a little long in the tooth, and then it's time to drop down to a, I like to drive like an 89, 90 model in a couple of years. So the point is your life really doesn't change that much.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Dan from Covina. Dan?
Hi. How's it going, Adam?
You got shot?
Danny, Teresa. No, I didn't get shot. It was my probably my first time having to open up, though. We were doing a sweep, and I turned the corner, and probably about 2-3 feet in front of me, there's a guy there, had his gun. I shot first, right through the head. Mm-hmm. And since then, it's just been a reoccurring nightmare. Matter of fact, I was having it, you know, one last night, and I was actually hitting my girlfriend in my sleep. I was, which isn't, you know, uncommon. I do some pretty wild things in my sleep, but... yeah, it's kind of, that whole experience changed my life.
Well, I couldn't imagine, you know, we all sit around and have dreams about the time we got a jaywalking ticket or the time when we got yelled at by our math teacher or something. You killed a guy or you've been shot at. You know what I mean? I mean, you want to talk about the things, you know, you can go ahead, your boss can send you a crappy email and you can have a dream about it. Forget about shooting somebody or getting shot at or seeing friends die or killing friends of others. I mean, if I ever was in country, as they say, if I ever saw any action, whatever the conflict was, I don't think I'd dream about anything else from the time I got back.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Your unconscious has to work that out. That's what dreams are for.
The good news is you don't.
Too, Adam.
What's that?
I agree with you, too, with and this is going back to what you've talked about in the past with that, how people are saying, well, you know, this is our people are over there and they didn't know they were going to go to war. And, you know, everyone feels sorry for them. No, when I joined the military, I knew that there was that chance that I was going to go to war. And I went when I went over to Iraq, I knew that I was going to encounter these things. But your mind is never really ready to experience. You know, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Thanks, Dan. It's true. Again, no disrespect to the servicemen, but the deal is when you sign up for all the nice perks that you have in the military, one of the cons next to the pros, maybe a war may break out and you may have to ship out somewhere. That's the deal. You can't complain about it.
Well, that was interesting, too, because you think about how horrible it would be to get shot. However, shooting somebody is probably equally damaging.
It's sort of like breaking up in a certain way, except for you're alive, at least. But everyone talks about getting dumped and how horrible that is. Some of the worst moments in my life was breaking up with other people, depending on how you're constructed.
Yeah.
And I'm constructed in a way that does not handle that very well. So whether you're pulling the trigger or whether you're getting hit by it, it's both bad. Nick?
Yeah, I'm surprised that, I mean, maybe last night was my roughest night yet, but I'm really surprised.
Divorce-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last night was awful.
Oh, really?
It was awful. I couldn't believe.
Well, what are you surprised about, by the way?
A, that I care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I just, I care. The thing I think I care the most about is it's unbelievable that I can't stop it. Mm-hmm. That I look at her. We had a moment about you yesterday, and I apologize for this.
All right.
But
and Gretchen.
Yeah. I said, why are you leaving me? What is it that you think is out there? She said, I don't know, but I'm not happy. And I said, what life do you think is, you know, did you hear the show today? And she goes, I know what you're thinking about. And I said, what? And she said, where Mrs. Carolla got mad at Adam for not introducing her to Howard Stern. I said, as a matter of fact, yeah. Because Gretchen's done the Howard Stern show 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
She comes with me. She walks in. He asks her how you stay married to the nut.
Right.
And Howard Stern interviews Gretchen.
I look at Howard Stern as Mrs. Adam Carolla, by the way. But I understand what my wife's point was.
I said, you know, what do you think? Who do you think is going to love you like this? Who do you think is going to do this? And I use a million other examples.
Right.
And I said, this is a mistake that you can just stop right now. And I expected her to say, all right, we'll call it off, but you have to do this. And she just said, I'm not happy. I'm divorcing you. And I went, I can't believe I can't make this stop.
Yeah, it is. It is. Again, it's a bad dream. It's something you can't control. And especially when you're a guy like Danny or probably myself, where you're used to being able to control things. Yeah. You put some time in, you throw some money at it, or you just mop your brow and get busy. But you can just sort of push your way through things. And this is something you can't control. I have two thoughts when it comes to Gretchen. One is there's pro and con. One is, you know, there's this feeling like you're going to do better all the time. You're not. I remember when one season we were doing the Man Show, and we had a director, one of the guys who went out and shot stuff with us, and his name was Pete. And I always got along with him, and he did good, you know. He did yeoman-like work, but it wasn't like he was an artiste. It's right. Just he did solid work, and his bits journeyman. Came out good. He was a journeyman. And one of my partners, Daniel, said, we could do better than Pete, so let's get rid of him this year and see if we can get someone who's really awesome. And I said, that's great. Pete's a 7.5. But I don't think we're going to replace him with a 9. I think we might get a 6. As a matter of fact, you know, we're not the hottest show on TV. We're a popular show. But let's face it, good guys are hard to come by, and most of them are working. So we could fire the 7, which would be great. But we're basing that on replacing him with a 10. And the reality is we're probably going to have a succession of 3s and 4s and then wish we had our 7 back right. by the end of the season. Well, that's what happened. We fired what was a good solid 7.3 to 7.8, interviewed a whole bunch of 4s and 5s, went out and shot a bunch of stuff with him that was subpar. And at the end of the season, we wanted this guy back. Now, whether you're getting divorced, whether you're firing an employee, or whether you're doing whatever you are in your life, go ahead and move on, but realize no guarantee when you fire one employee that you're going to get the world's greatest employee. As a matter of fact, a lot of those guys are either in jobs they like or in marriages they like, yeah. Gretchen. And you have to understand that if it's about if it's about moving up, you may not always move up. As a matter of fact, you'll probably move down. On the other hand,
it's not about moving. This is the saddest part. It's not about moving up or moving down. It's about moving away. It's about me.
Well, in that case,
I can't live in the house with you another day. I can't do it.
So did you stay there last night?
No. I mean, I still live in the house. It's a separate apartment. She considers that just fine. We're friendly as we can be. We discuss. I flat out said, here's what I earn. How much do you want? Here's half of the money. Are we all right? Are we cool? She said, basically, we'll figure out, you know, the percentages of your money goes up or down. I said, fine, let's just get in and out in a day. Mm-hmm. Because my own lawyer that I met yesterday, he's a sponsor. His name's Alan Sachs, Adam mm-hmm. Sachs. Mm-hmm. Adam Sachs, attorney at law. He must have told me to calm down 10 times. And he's my lawyer.
You're like, you probably hear that at least 10 times a day.
And then he said, you can't behave like this about 5 times. And that's my lawyer talking to me.
Really?
When her lawyer looks at me and tells me what his client once, when he's referring to my wife,
mm-hmm.
this is going to go very bad for everybody. And I went home to her yesterday and I said, find a number you want that you can live with. Have it be more than I get by enough. Take my whole set. I don't care. Get us in and out of there because I'll ruin us.
In your heart of hearts, did you think deep down she's bluffing?
Yes. Not bluffing. I thought she meant it and she'd get over it.
Joe?
Yeah.
You're telling us about your dreams?
Yeah.
What do you got, brother?
Well, all through junior high school and high school, I had this dream for years that I would be standing in front of the classroom, you know, all of a sudden, and I'd be missing some part of my clothing. I'd either be missing my pants, my shirt, you know what I mean? And I had it a whole bunch of times.
Yeah, that's a very simple dream. I mean, that's sort of basic dream 101. That's not the weird custom dreams I have.
I think everyone's had a version of that. It's just about being vulnerable or being ashamed or being nervous.
Yeah, being exposed.
Yeah.
It's and you know what's weird, too, and it's too bad. Thanks, Joe. It's too bad about your dreams. They do color the rest of the day. Yeah. Like, if you have a very negative dream, you'll probably have kind of a rough day. And have you ever had this one where you had a dream about somebody that you work with or somebody that you know? The dream was sexual or physical or at least had to do with relationships. And then the next time you saw the person, you knew in your rational mind that you two were not going steady or that you didn't have sex with them, but you're about 30% closer to that somehow.
Yeah.
Like, I've had dreams about people I worked with or about people I knew and then saw them the next day and it'd be like, how you doing?
It was so real. You sent Danny flowers this morning.
it was really, it was born out Bill, but it is. And for women, I think if you had a dream about a guy you worked with who you may have had no feelings for, formerly had no feelings for, but you had a dream that you guys made sweet love and that you walked in and you saw him working at a dolphin rehab clinic where dolphins, well, no, pony and dolphin rehab clinic where dolphins and ponies had been injured and he helped to rehab them, but he volunteered at the clinic and then you guys made sweet love and you saw the guy the next day at work. He would have a 50 to 70% better chance of getting into your pants that day.
Yeah.
Than any other day.
That's true. I've had dreams where a boyfriend cheated on me and the next day I was kind of grouchy.
You're angry, Adam. Time to take a trip to the bagel stand.
That's where how they end up at Sam's Bagels.
Yeah, that's the equivalent of when you tell your 9-year-old, what happened to the puppy when you backed over the puppy? He's at the farm. when he went to the big farm. Going to the bagel shop with Teresa means you're getting cut loose.
At least 5 times that's happened. It's like getting on the boat if you're in the mafia.
It is funny with the women, too, the way they have their dreams, which is like, yeah, I had a great night of passion. Yeah, who with? Who? Some guy you worked with? Some guy you went to class? I don't know.
Faceless and
no face. Yeah. No head. What do you mean, no head? No, he had a head. Well, what does his face look like? It was blurred out. Like, you know, when they do those courtroom sketchings and they don't draw the face in. Really? Because for me, I know exactly what celebrity or what chick I work with. It's very clear. As a matter of fact, I'll take parts of Pam Anderson and mix her with Jessica Biel, but I know exactly who it is.
Frankenstein him?
I'll Frankenstein him, whereas you women will just Forkenstein him. You don't know who it is. It was a mysterious man. I think you like it that way. Well, maybe you do it that way because if you had a dream about Danny and it was Danny's head, you would come in here with an attachment to Danny that maybe you don't need or want.
True.
See, I've had, by the way, you don't need or want. We'll give a quick heads up right
that
there.
That makes one of you, right?
I think it's because it's the opposite in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Because Teresa, as I understand it, has almost, I don't believe it is a real life 30-day rule and she counts. But there is a long time between meeting, liking, and sex.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Where I will actually have sex with a faceless girl. Now, I don't mean that I'm not aware of who she is. I mean a burn victim.
You mean someone who was attacked by Kodiak Bear?
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
During the attack?
The guy from...
Hold on, Danny. I asked you an important question. During the attack, while the Kodiak Bear was on top of this woman, you would get it on top as well?
Is another input?
No, then I got to do the bear. And that's a big hassle. The bear would have to get the girl to the right position.
That'd be the worst day of your life, by the way. It'd be like, there would be a Kodiak Bear on top of you, mauling you, and you're thinking, oh, finally, some strangers come to help, and then, oh, dear Lord, he's taking my pants off. It's Bonaducci.
It's a good Samaritan.
But no, I think that really is the difference why women have dreams about having sex with faceless people, where guys, I would venture to say that I've slept with 50 women, and I can't remember the vaguest idea what they look like.
Have you had a same-sex dream? Like, even though you're straight, have you dreamt about having sex with men ever?
I don't know offhand if I, you know, I'm not ducking the question. If I had one, I would totally tell you it's a dream. They don't necessarily mean what they are.
I've had ambiguous junk dreams. I've had dreams where it's like, hey, look at that hot chick. And then, ooh, wait a minute, that hot chick's got male junk.
Dude, are you gay?
Which, thankfully, was a deal breaker, but still weird and ambiguous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I went, woo, I'm diving in. It was like, hey, who's that hot chick? And then it's like, oh, what's up with this? And then that was enough to make me go, all right, I'm going to go have one of my I can fly dreams.
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
I don't know. I got to take
a dream.
We got to take a break. Perhaps I've said too much. Hit the dump. We'll take a quick break. But when we come back, something that's fast becoming a fan favorite on the Adam Carolla Show. Angel Adam, Devil Danny. Another opportunity to call in, 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Give us your dilemma, your moral dilemma.
That's the thing that I think people... I was not that pleased with a percentage of the phone calls last time that didn't really have a moral dilemma. You could have just thought it out.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to be in a quandary between right and wrong. This is good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be my job when we get there to tell you why almost always... evil is faster, easier, and better.
Yeah, and again, it's not going to be kill your wife and collect the insurance.
Why is it not going to be that?
Well, it could be that, but I don't want to limit it to just that. Maybe you're stealing at work.
Right.
Maybe you're cheating on a girlfriend. Maybe you're not paying your fair share of taxes. Whatever the dilemma, the quandary is, we will answer it, or at least you'll get the opposite polls. Angel Adam, Devil Danny next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Now back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on The Adam Carolla Show.
And again, you have about, 2 hours and 45 minutes or so to get your celebrities together. This is it. The window's closing, and I'm painting it shut with my $10,000 paintbrush, everybody. $10,000, my money. I'll give it to whoever. As a matter of fact, I don't even want to know who brought whom. I don't want to know if it was Angie or Kyle or Danny or Mike August. I don't care who brought it. And like I said, I don't want to know who brought me because I don't want it to enter my mind. I want to make a pure decision. All right, now we're talking Angel Adam, Devil Danny.
Got a moral dilemma? Ask Angel Adam.
Do not cheat in wedlock. It will haunt you.
Or Devil Danny.
Climbing over their corpses to the top of the food chain.
Oh, we got some good ones. Scott from Phoenix.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, that's interesting right there.
How can we help you?
Well, I've been going out with this girl now for 4 years that we plan on getting married. And her mom is just recently divorced, and she's made a couple, I guess you would say, moves on me, and it's kind of let me know that it's okay to have sex without being in love, and she's giving me all this kind of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you were a liar.
And my older brothers tell me, yeah, if I don't go for it, I'll be
Let me interpret
idiot.
That. Let me explain. Yeah, let me interpret that. Let me tell you what the actual question. Move was. Hey, Scott, could you pass salt? Okay. Okay,
me.
Mrs. Robinson. I think I know what we're both talking
what
about.
What is the exact question?
Well, I want to know what she did. I want to know how you know somebody wants to have, someone's mom wants to have sex with you.
Like coming out of the bathroom with kind of a towel on and, you know.
Yeah, normally I wear spats and a top hat when I leave the bathroom.
I just wish you weren't a liar.
Asking me to give her a massage when my girlfriend's not around, and then taking my hand and kind of
shut your mouth, you dirty liar.
Ryan's about
all right. Listen, true or not?
Yeah, we have to assume these are true.
I'll assume they're true. And look, here's what I used to say on Loveline, because people would always say, "What about the bogus calls? What about, you know, that guy calling up said he was HIV positive and he didn't tell his girlfriend? That was bogus. Come on, you know that was bogus." And here's what I would always say. Maybe it was. Probably it was. But probably there was somebody listening who was HIV positive who wanted to know whether to tell their girlfriend.
If we can help one guy who wants to sleep with his girlfriend's mom.
That's right. If I can dissuade him and if Danny can shepherd him toward the old woman, well, then it is worth it. So let's go with Scott. Here we go. First off, my friend, let's not worry about you and your friend, namely your penis. Let's worry about the relationship that your fiance has with her mother. You see, if you had sex with her mother and she found out about it, and make no mistake, one day she will, it would not only destroy your relationship, but it would destroy the holiest of all bonds, the mother-daughter relationship. So there would be two relationships on the rocks here, yours and hers with her mom's. Now, you would move on. You would remarry. You would find somebody else. But her and her mother, they could never move past this. This would be a black cloud that was over their relationship for the rest of their lives, and you would be responsible for it. Danny?
That was lovely.
Thank you.
Can I ask you a question, please? I don't usually ask questions. I just usually give the advice. But can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Has anybody ever called you, and I'm going to use a different word for the second word, but has anybody ever looked at you and said, you know, you're a mother father?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody ever said that to you?
No.
No one's ever called you the MF word?
I know where he's going. Just say yes, would you, Scott?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Don't you get the compliment?
Oh, it's a compliment.
Don't you get it? Don't you know that you're not having sex with two different women? You're having sex with a family. You're the best. You're the king. You know what? It's no more when you go inside her mother. All you've done is move into her old house. Okay? It's moving back to her old neighborhood. The bond the mother and daughter share now will never be closer than when they've shared a man. When they can talk about what it was like to be with you, that moment they both let loose. The only thing you can do, and when Angel Adams says, and when she finds out, and eventually she will, of course she will, because you're going to tell her, and then you're going to invite her the next time.
Wow.
And see if they don't play fair. And see if you don't deserve the title. Hey, you're a mother father.
Scott?
Oh,
all right. I can't take Scott's four Mississippi delight. So, Danny.
Yeah.
You say sleeping with mom is just like taking the upper bunk in your wife's old womb.
That's exactly right.
Little play on words there, but you know what I'm saying.
Your girlfriend used to live there,
right.
And now you visit every now and then. It's just sweet of you, I think.
Interesting spin.
Go back to visit the old neighborhood.
Exactly.
All right, let's see. One last fling before wedding. Cheated friend out of money in poker. Boss smokes weed. Ex-wife. All right, let's go with Elijah on line two. Elijah from Seattle. Elijah?
Yes, sir.
What's up, brother?
Hey, man, I do construction, and boss man smokes a whole bunch of weed. On the way in every day, smokes weed.
Mm-hmm.
At lunch, goes out to his car, smokes weed. And on the way home, smokes weed.
Yeah, first off, you can get fired from your construction job for not smoking weed, so I'm not sure what the question is. I once found out I didn't do drugs on a construction site, and I wasn't racist, and I was immediately sent packing. Every guy I worked with was a drug addict. But the thing about weed, and then I'll slide into my role, is there's certain drugs that speed things up and others that slow things down. When you start drinking booze, it's like, hey, where did the night go? When you smoke the weed, it's like, what? That clock is moving backwards. I've gotten high on a construction site at like 6:45 in the morning. And by 8:30, I just fell to my knees and screamed to the heavens. What day is it? Where's the lunch truck? What's going on? I'm miserable. And then me and a guy named Mike proceeded to sheetrock an entire room over every outlet and lighting fixture as well, too, that was roughed out. That was a fun time when the electrician had to come in and poke around for the cans he'd buried up in the ceiling that we went right over. You want to report, or you want to know whether you should report, you can get hurt and you can do some pretty bad work when you're done, when you're on a construction site and you're high. So you want to know whether to report your boss or not.
Well, yeah, and the problem's twofold. So I got the problem at work, and also he's currently applying for his foster's license so that, as far as I can tell, gets $600 a month. And so do you tell CPS?
You said foster, being a foster parent.
Right. So do you tell CPS and possibly do more damage to the kids by having the dad taken away?
Mm-hmm. Does he want to be a foster parent for the money, or does he really love children?
It looks like it's for the money, because he's always asking to borrow money, but every day he shows up at work with new weed.
So. All right. So whether to rat out, who do you tell your boss? Who do you rat him out to?
He's my lead on the site, so then there's just the boss man who owns the company.
Okay, so that would be the person.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for that convoluted answer. As I try to put on my angel wings, but I start getting angry at the callers.
Give me an angry angel.
Also, along with my my Who's On First, where I open a store with huge chain and called a big chain store. Mm-hmm. The other one is the foster parents named the Fosters.
Sure, of right. course.
Anyway, all
the
right.
Foster family.
Let's get started here, Elijah. Because Danny is he's like a caged animal. He's pacing like a lion at the circus. All right. Listen, my brother. The reason you need to rat this guy out, as you would say it, I call it getting the man help. You call it ratting the man out. This man has a substance problem. You need to find him appropriate help. Not only that, but he could hurt himself on the construction site, or worse, hurt others with a decision that he made that was impaired by his drug use. Now, he wants to be a foster parent, that's fine, but nobody needs stoned daddy, and nobody needs stoned foreman, and nobody needs stoned husband or stoned father. They need a clear-thinking, rational man, whether he's on the construction site or, in his most important workplace, home in front of the children, taking care of those foster children. So don't look at it as ratting him out. Look at it as getting him help, and please avail him of that by speaking to his superior about his pot problem. Danny?
First of all, I'm not even going to bother with the foster children and the marijuana. Mm-hmm. I hope he gets them and sells them for more pot. It doesn't affect you. It's mm-hmm. not part of your question. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Here's what I care about. Are you a real man? Answer me. Are you a real man?
Well, let me get him off
home. Yeah, of course.
Of course. What can you take? What can you take? Can you take some? Can you take something like a man? Because here's what you do, construction worker. You never work another day in your life. THC doesn't come out of your system. There's no way to mask it. You don't report him because he could injure somebody. You've met him injure you. You make sure he injures you. Mm-hmm. You make sure he's got THC in his body when he tells you to do anything or gets anywhere near you near the second floor. And you take it like a man. And you never work another day in your life because a whole crew was aware this guy was high. Mm-hmm. You were gonna tell. And this stone bastard knocked you off and you can't work anymore. Plus, people knew and covered it up. You don't have to go sling a hammer again in your life. Don't be a fool.
Elijah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree with Danny. Throw yourself off the second
God
floor.
Damn right.
That was brilliant.
Danny basically said, lean into one.
Yep, yeah. Take one.
Take a bean ball. This guy was high.
He'll be tested.
You'll never have to work again. That's the one part I miss about construction is the guys that were sitting home taking that check, that disability check, and how everyone on the construction site looked at them as the luckiest guys they ever met. Oh, did you hear about Phil? No, what happened? Fell off some scaffold and got impaled by some rebar. Now he's getting $1,200 a month and he doesn't have to go to work. And everyone goes, that son of a bitch, he's got a four-leaf clover in his pocket, I tell you. It's like, well, he did have a compound fracture. Oh, man, the guy doesn't even have to leave his house, just go to his mailbox.
Hey, man, I shot a nail gun through my hand one time just to see if I could. You could do this for $1,000,000.
You should have called me, Danny. I would have told you. I would have told you it'd work.
I knew it'd work. I didn't know it'd work like that. I didn't know you couldn't get it back out.
Let's do one more. Ken Sherman Hi. Oaks. Ken?
Hey, how you doing?
Question.
I've been with a relationship with my girl for 13 years now. Mm-hmm. 13 years, and I've been, since we first met, we kind of like shacked up and been living together the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is that she decided to get married, so we're kind of engaged. Well, we are engaged, and we're going to get married.
She decided.
Yes.
And what I want to do is realize, like, do one last fling. You know, I haven't tasted any samples or anything else out there. I'm wondering if the possibility is maybe I should just have one last fling before we get married.
Ken, it says here you're calling from Sherman Oaks, but I'm going to go with not born and raised in Sherman Oaks.
No, New York.
Shocking.
And we were dogs. I was a dog all my life, to tell the truth. I was horrible. That's the first time I've actually, you know, straddled it.
So the question is one last fling before the marriage?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay.
And I base my decision on when I decide. I'm on the borderline on this one, so this is the switch out.
All right, let me see. Let me see if I can sway you. Let me see if I can bring you toward the light, Brother Ken. Yeah, the one last relationship, the one last fling sounds good before the marriage. The problem is that will wear off very quickly, but the memory of cheating. You see, the physical sensation, the physical gratification that you feel from the actual contact wears off 2 days later, but the memory of cheating on your beloved, that never goes away. So the feeling good memory part, the part where there's actual physical sensation, that goes immediately, but the damage you've done to the relationship, well, that lingers on long, long after the physical goes away. So you will go into your relationship with this. And as I've said many times, she may never find out, but you'll always know, Ken. Every time you look into the mirror, you'll know. You'll see the cheater. You'll not see the husband. You'll not see the father. You'll see the cheater. And then she may find out, and it may really be over. So if she does find out about this last fling, it's over. If she doesn't, well, you know about it, and that's all you need to know.
Wow.
Are you kidding me? I agree with Adam.
Hmm?
You should, of course, not have one last fling. Hmm? Why would you limit yourself to one last fling? Are you insane?
Multiple?
You should have one last fling before you get married. But why stop? What would be the point of monogamy as long as you deliver? What if Angel Adam is right and you have this one last fling and it tortures you? So look forward to the next one. Set them up. Have them in advance. Have a girl on the side and cheat on her too. Because I will tell you, and it's one of my favorite things I've ever heard, there's no pain like chick pain. Ooh. Nothing hurts like a broken heart.
No, I thought you meant a Brazilian wax.
Instead of having your heart broken by one of these women possibly, you go down the food chain so you are invincible. You have an army and an armor of vagina. Everywhere you look, one turns on you, there's another waiting. Don't have one last fling, my friend. You might have one last fling before your wedding day, but I highly recommend, if you want to keep life interesting, you have one again within the next 30 days, and you live your life as a single man who comes home to the same address every night and drops off his money and his laundry.
Well, there you go, Ken. The yin to my yang.
I was going to base my decision, and I was hoping Danny would be right, but what Danny said that prolongs is that, why stop there? Mm-hmm. I think if I opened his door, I wouldn't be able to stop, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. That's exactly right. But what happens if you don't open the door? You smash into it.
All right.
Well, you know, it's just a fling, but you're right, you know, you're right. Danny, one more thing, Danny, you need a devil Danny on your side. What's this guy talking about, you being the him being the headline? The devil Danny should have told him to stick it up his butt.
Oh, you mean Jeff Ross?
Yeah.
Wow.
And even the dead frat guy. The frat guy was in my frat. He cries too damn much. Ken, you should. I know you're trying to be humble and kind and sweet and everything. Can you find sobriety? But I need to know
what are you talking about?
I will tell you this. I'll happily answer that question.
You need to jump on this guy. You need to tell him, you know, kiss my ass.
Listen to me very carefully, my friend.
Are you talking about Jeff Ross on the show a week and a half ago?
Yeah.
No, him, but also the dead frat guy. The dead frat guy always whining and complaining. If he's in my frat house, I'd kick him out, little whiny bastard.
Okay. Let me hear the radio.
Let me just explain that to you right now. Because I don't appreciate the way that man talks to me. And I've made it clear.
I think you should tell him that. You know, I think you're being too nice. You need to get up there and step
listen
on
to me. Hey, before you become the Jeff Rat guy.
What in God's holy name are you blabbering about?
I signed a deal and made a big promise to join the Adam Carolla Show. Not to try, and as I got mail the first week until people got the hang of me, that I was trying to make it the Adam and Danny Show, and then the Danny Show, and see what I could do, and see what I could get, and see what I could sneak. You know, when I play Devil Danny, that's a game I play and I'm good at it. But the fact of the matter is, I work on the Adam Carolla Show and Def Frat Guy works on the Adam Carolla Show. He talks to me like that outside this door. I'll kill him for that.
Make no mistake, it is the Adam Carolla Show. Yeah. Ken, brother, you need a warm up on the coffee? You're good.
Okay,
I don't
want to
get hollered
right
at again during the commercial.
I'd walk over there, I'd grab him by his deaf head, and I'd smash his face into his microphone the way that pig talks to me. But I work at the Adam Carolla Show, and so does he. That's my job. I got to feed my family.
I agree. And
by the way, my contract's up January 2nd.
Mm-hmm. Ask me about Def Frat Guy January 3rd.
Ooh. All right, we need to take a break. I need to pick up Danny's dry cleaning. But when we come back...
Also, his neck needs a massage. It's a little tense, he was mentioning.
Oh, that's your job, baby.
Oh,
I'm
right.
Going to go on the dry cleaning run. T, what's coming up in the news when we come back?
Well, a madam...
Frat Guy, yes. Found dead.
That and
dead
a...
Dead frat guy.
A madam, a big madam, is naming names and then apologizing, but ruining lives in the process. I'll tell you who she's naming. And why is Ellen DeGeneres doing her show from bed this week?
John, Yoko, and Ellen. We'll take a quick break. Be right back with the news next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Coming up this morning on The Adam Carolla Show, someone's going to win $10,000 for booking the best guest during the month of April. Here's another Outbook August in April nominee, Joe Pesci.
How many horses do you have?
I just bought another one yesterday. So
what do you name them? What are the names of some of your horses?
I name a lot of them after characters from my movies. I have one called Leo Getz.
Huh.
I have one called Nikki Santoro from Goodfellas. Well, I don't have her anymore. That one was claimed, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I've been saving other names, you know, for special horses or something.
What are you saving?
I can't. Well, I don't want to tell you that. Somebody's liable to name their horse that, and then it's hard for me to name my horse.
Who's going to win $10,000? We'll find out at the end of today's show. If you'd like to sway the voting, go to AdamCarolla.com. Now back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on The Adam Carolla Show.
I don't know why I was thinking about names, but I was watching some movie, and Heath Ledger was in it. And
I wish I knew how to quit you.
And my wife turned to me and she said, I don't think he's that hot. I don't see what the big deal. It was 10 things I hate about you.
Yeah.
And I said, I looked at her and I go, yeah. I mean, I can tell when there's a guy who's good looking.
Absolutely.
And Heath Ledger's got kind of a weird nose and weird hair. And I was kind of like, yeah, I don't think he's that hot either. And then I looked at her and I said, if his name was like Randy Shulman, I don't think he'd be nearly as hot. I think people are into Heath Ledger with a guy's name. Oh, yes.
I think it's fame also begets beauty. You assume that someone is beautiful when they are not. If you are under the impression other people assume they're beautiful. When I was growing up, there were two teen idols. There's David Cassidy and Bobby Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
David Cassidy was stunningly handsome. Shockingly handsome.
Yes.
Bobby Sherman was a big, round-headed goofball.
How dare... I mean, I don't know who he is.
In my opinion. Leif Garrett. Didn't do anything.
That's a hot name.
I will bring you some posters from my ceiling that I will have to carefully remove tonight, which, by the way, have been Scotch guarded.
How many...
And I will prove you wrong, Bonaduce. So help me, Christ.
Have you seen on the screen, or even sevens, that become tens because everybody just says they are?
I'm
with you. Heath is not that hot. He's nobody special.
I think Mini Driver... is another one of these people that has a hot name and thus gets mileage. And if
and she's got an English accent.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If Heath Ledger's name was Randy Bort, I don't think we'd be talking about him.
It's true. If you had a blind date with Norma or Mildred,
yes,
you might not be excited, even though she might be a 10.
Mm-hmm.
Or sure, a Mildred will throw you. A Mildred will, in fact, throw you. But just so we know who we're talking to still... I would still do it while she was having sex with a Kodiak bear.
That's right.
Clear.
That's
no,
right.
Just doing it.
If you're ever attacked by Kodiak bear, and there's probably only a 30 or 40% chance this is going to happen to you, but if you're ever being attacked by Kodiak bear and a Good Samaritan has sex with you, chances are it's Bonaduce.
There's a very good chance of that.
Yeah.
All right, T?
Yeah.
Not because I'm mean. Because it's like boxing with Donny Osmond.
Look.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Having sex with a girl being eaten by a bear.
By the way, the bear has nothing against the person it's mauling.
Right.
It's
right.
All instinct. You can't take
same
that away.
Same with Bonaduce.
That's what I'm saying. T?
Yes.
News.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Demonstrators demanding a path to citizenship for an estimated 12 million illegal immigrants will be marching nationwide today, including here in Los Angeles. They're expecting a huge demonstration starting in about a half an hour downtown, then a couple hours later in Koreatown, a couple blocks from where I live.
Yes, I have many thoughts on this. See, everyone's scared to talk because it makes you a xenophobic or racist. Kiss my ass. I'm not either one of those, so I'm going to speak very freely. Few thoughts. As I've said before, this what are we going to do so we'll do nothing mentality is a horrible plan, whether you're talking about illegal immigration or global warming.
Right.
I like to give the Republicans and the Democrats equal amounts of crap. For the Republicans, it's the global warming. For the last 20 years, it's, hey, man, we're screwing the planet. We got to do something. And the Republicans said, fine, we're all ears. What do you want to do? How about we raise the minimum fuel requirement for cars coming out? We're not going to do that. Well, how about we take factories and we cut down on, well, that's going to cost money. Well, how about? Well, everything obviously takes money. Everything takes time. So what's the answer? Not going to do that. Cost too much. Take too long. So the answer? Nothing.
Right.
We'll do nothing. Now the polar caps are melting. Same with immigration. We've known it's a problem. We've been talking about it for 20 years. Came to the forefront during 9/11. What are we going to do to protect the borders? How about we put up a fence? Well, that's not going to work. Well, how about we take the National Guard and move them down? Well, we're not going to do that. Well, how about?
Right.
I'm not an expert, but I do know enough to know nothing is not the answer to a problem, whether it's global warming or illegal immigration, you retards. Nothing? You can't just sit there and shoot down every idea explaining why it's not going to work and then come up with nothing. That's a horrible plan, and sure, it's a way to run your country. Again, whether it's global warming, immigration, whatever the problem is, gang violence, teenagers pregnant, whatever it is, nothing is never the answer, and that's what we have thus far.
The White House actually has a plan, but it's being roundly criticized by immigrant groups. Here's what the White House is proposing to reform immigration. Their plan would grant illegal immigrants three-year work visas for $3,500, but it would also require them to return home to their country of origin and apply for U.S. residency and then pay a $10,000 fine before coming back.
Okay, so basically what they've got is nothing, because nobody's doing it. That's $13,000 from an illegal alien.
More than, yes.
But Adam, cliches become cliches usually because they're right. And one that fits here is nobody plans to fail. You fail to plan. And that's what's happening here. Nobody's making any plans.
Well, meanwhile, California is turning into Mexico. And whether this sounds racist or not, I don't want to live in Mexico.
Right.
Mexico's now coming to us. It's a third world nation. It's sending us its poorest. We can't absorb all of them. And this whole thing where it's like, oh, yeah, who's going to pick your lettuce? Have a white guy pick it, pay him an extra buck an hour, and charge me an extra 10 cents when I buy a head of lettuce. I don't even know how much a head of lettuce is. And I don't care how poor you are. There's no difference between 50 cents for a head of lettuce and 56 cents for a head of lettuce. And listen, Mr. Democrat, Mr. Left-wingers, aren't you the pusses that are constantly talking about the unions? You love your unions. You love to pay the guys at the UAW make our cars an extra 10 bucks an hour. Why? Because it's a living wage. Why? Because their families need it. Why? Because they need health care. Why? So then when it comes to the lettuce picking, what? We don't want to pay these guys? Just apply your logic to everything. You got Teamsters getting 50 bucks an hour for eating donuts inside of vans listening to Howard Stern. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. It's a union. Well, we don't mind paying a guy extra to do the job. Pay the guy extra to pick the lettuce. That's fine. There's always somebody to do a job. Here's who will do the job. Not white, not black, not brown, not yellow, not anything. It's rich and poor. As long as there's a class of people in this country that aren't going to college, that aren't from privilege, that need to work for a living, they will work. They will find jobs. Now, the thing is you can pick lettuce for summer and then move on. It's like McDonald's. You're not supposed to work there for 20 years. You're supposed to work there for summer. You're supposed to work at this job that doesn't pay you anything. It just teaches you a lot, essentially. You're getting minimum wage. You're supposed to do it, and then you move up and move on, not enslave the same guy for 20 years picking lettuce.
Well, how about we enslave a different guy? Because
that's right. We enslave a guy per year. It's like boot camp.
Right, but also there is, see, nobody in an official position can also plan for cruelty and evil, when that is also often a solution. I'm still, I guess, in Devil Daniel.
I know.
Make it more difficult, because what does an illegal Mexican, an illegal alien from Mexico or Honduras or Nicaragua get to pick lettuce? $3?
So whatever. I don't know how it works. I don't know if they get minimum wage. I'm sure they get $5-6 or whatever.
Okay, fabulous. Let's make it harder then for them to get in, and make it easier from guys for DeFore
to get in and pick my lettuce and give them a quarter.
We take, yeah, I agree. We take millions of refugees and millions of legal, millions, maybe a couple million legal immigrants into this country every year. This is illegal, everybody. And another few thoughts. Lots of drugs. As a matter of fact, I was listening to CNN this morning. Most, the lion's share of the meth and the heroin and the coke and the pot come in from Mexico. So it's not, look, I'm not into this terrorist thing. I don't think Al-Qaeda's coming in through Mexico, although it could happen. I'm not going to harp on that. But what about the illegal drugs? And then what about just the part where it's illegal? We have an immigration process. And they do that thing where they go, hey, if you know, putting up a fence, it never kept anyone out of anything. Fence never, okay, maybe it kept people in. Right. I'm looking at it the other way, because you put a fence around a prison, it keeps them in.
It keeps them in.
So look at the fence as keeping Mexico in Mexico, not keeping them out of the United States. I'll just flip it on you that way. Either way, something needs to be done. Does that make you racist?
Well, no, it makes you a law-abiding citizen.
There are 12 million illegal immigrants. That's the estimate, you know, the barn doors. That's 12 million people that many of whom are the working poor. They can't scrape up over $1,300, $13,000.
No, we got our ratings in yesterday in Los Angeles. Now, here's the comedy. If you want to know what it's like living in Los Angeles, and this is the greatest argument for guarding the borders, as far as I'm concerned. We are number four in this market in Los Angeles, English speaking.
Right.
Number five, English speaking men 25 to 50 or 18 to 49 or whatever it is. We're in the top five English speaking overall. 29.
Yep.
Number 29.
I was just saying.
Because the numbers one and two shows are in Spanish.
Literally the top five.
Oh, no.
Five.
One, two, three, four, and five shows.
There's literally eight stations that are above us. We're number four English speaking. Now, look, people, I've said it many times. Take Mexico out of the equation. Let's just make it France. You're just living in Los Angeles. The mayor is French. The five top radio stations are French speaking stations. It's hard to talk to people on the street unless you can speak French. If you want to go to work, you better be bilingual. You better speak English and French.
Absolutely.
Your kid goes to a school where 90% of the people in the public school are French. At what point do you say, hey, folks, let's put down the beret and the baguette and pick up the American flag and the apple pie? I'm not saying I want to kick all the French out of here. Learn English and let's put somebody up at the border of France.
I could not agree with you more.
From a practical standpoint, if you want to avoid downtown and or Koreatown, you may want to do so today.
Well,
there's going to be probably a half a million. You know, estimates are anywhere from 20,000 people to 100,000. Some are saying a half a million.
Well, did you try and get home the other day when it was, I believe, not the centennial, but a celebration is the wrong word, too, because it was the Armenian genocide.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Could you get anywhere near your home?
It was difficult, yeah.
It took me literally from once I hit the parade,
right,
which is a weird thing to call when they're talking about the Armenian genocide.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew there were that many Armenians in Los Feliz? You know, it stopped traffic. Because you think, when I lived in Detroit, do you know there are more Arabs in Detroit than anywhere in the world besides Saudi Arabia?
Mm.
You just think it's winter in L.A., this is a problem with south of the border.
Hold on. Note to self, cancel vacation plans to Detroit this summer. Go ahead. Sorry.
You don't need more Arabs than Arabia to cancel your trip to Detroit, buddy.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, it's not just we think of it as a south of the border because it's no longer a Mexican problem. I'm so used to saying Mexico. But, like, nobody that works in my quote-unquote Mexican position, if you will, that I know, is actually from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
One's from Honduras and one is from Nicaragua.
Right.
You know, it's a south of the border issue.
Mexico has very strict laws about them getting into
their country,
by the way. And I do know many Armenians. Actually, I only know System of a Down. Those are the only Armenians I know. But other than that.
Well, here's a political story of a different kind. It's about a madam, an alleged madam from Washington, D.C. named Deborah Jean Palfrey. She's facing federal prosecution charges for allegedly providing escorts to prominent Washington officials for, quote, erotic fantasy services. However, she's made it clear if she's going down, she will take some of her powerful political clients
good.
With her.
Good, because we spend so much time and money and manpower on this crap. Meanwhile, the ports are wide open and so are the borders.
Right.
Well, this lady is giving her phone records to ABC, who will apparently use those records to out some of the politicians involved in this scandal on 2020 this Friday. Here, this Madam Palfrey claims that, well, she apologizes to one person who she's named, Deputy Secretary of State Randall Tobias, who was one of Bush's top administration officials. He's resigned since this happened.
I love it.
Here she is.
Allow me to say how genuinely sorry I am for Mr. Tobias, his family, and his friends. I unfortunately know firsthand the impact such a revelation can have upon one's life.
For the record, this man Tobias has said, quote, all he did was have girls come over to the condo to give me a massage.
Right. She weren't a liar.
Right.
Yeah, now even though she's apologized for outing this guy, she is still threatening everyone else.
Professional massage therapists don't wear that much glitter and don't have acrylic nails, yes. Number one. And number two, this is the argument of, I went into the bar just to drink a Pepsi. And it's like, why spend $8 at a bar to drink a Pepsi?
You're naked.
You can buy one at any liquor store, because that's where I like. BS. You go to a bar, you're drinking.
Absolutely. Now, Tobias went on to threaten others of those who had used her, who had ordered Pepsi from her bar.
Well, I'll tell you right.
I sure as heck am not going to be going to federal prison for one day, let alone, you know, 4 to 8 years here, you know, because I'm shy about bringing in the deputy secretary of whatever. Not for a second. I'll bring every last one of them in if necessary.
Good.
Nice.
Tired of these victimless crimes and consensual crimes. Yep. Look, everybody. Once we've taken care of all the violent crime, once we've fixed every pothole, once we've taken care of everything that involves you, your life, and a negative impact on you, the citizens of these United States, then we'll start focusing on the consensual stuff, the prostitution, the pot smoking, the gambling, all that stuff. We'll focus on that soon as we get done with the rape, the arson, and the murder part.
Right.
This is the only
part of being me that I actually enjoy. Mm. Nobody can do this to me. Nobody can say that guy is a dirty, lying, cheating whore and have anybody go, well, that's a shock.
Right.
You know, they can't go to my boss and say, do you know you hired a dirty, lying, cheating whore? And he has to say yes, because I told him.
Right.
You know, that's my only enjoyable part of the Devil Danny life.
It was not.
I don't have a single skeleton.
It would be news if you weren't involved with the prostitution ring, Dan.
Right.
Right.
I get mad that I'm not in any of these books.
Well, it's interesting you should mention that, because my next story, Danny not involved with this prostitution ring.
Thank you.
It's on the wires.
I'm working on it.
Hey, T.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we're running woefully behind. Why don't we break the news into two pieces?
Sounds
good. Because I do enjoy the news so.
I meant so what? I still have to tell you why Ellen's doing her show from bed this week.
That's a tease. We'll take a break. Also coming up, Gay Board Op Bill went out to the Tribeca Film Festival and got issued a report from the red carpet. We got Outbook August and April. Someone is going to win $10,000. We'll do that in the news next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Now back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. We busted out the easel. I got a big foam core novelty check. I'm going to hand it over to somebody, whether they deserve it or not. And about 2 hours left before the windows closed, my kiddies. You can still put your celebrity up. You've been sitting on somebody. Now's the time. T.
Yes.
Let's continue the news.
Let's. Oh. Thanks for that. Ellen DeGeneres will be doing her show this week from a hospital bed on stage. This is because she seriously injured her back over the weekend, and this is how. She was leaning over to pick up her dog.
Oh, I wanted it to be some sort of stereotypical lesbian activity.
It was a German Shepherd. No, I don't know.
Good.
I don't actually know.
Where was she's picking her dog up.
Picking her dog. You know, sometimes you can just tweak your back a little if you're at the wrong angle.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's what she did. So yesterday's show, if you saw it, was taped prior to the weekend, so Ellen was fine. But she taped two interviews from her bed yesterday, one with Ryan Seacrest, that'll be today, and one with Lindsay Lohan for tomorrow.
Well, I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that she gets strung out on pain meds.
Not a chance.
No?
Nope.
Why not?
Steal them. The second low one gets that room. Jackie, oh. Like it, baby.
Good point. Says Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay comes into your room. Yeah. I recount your Viking bottle that said 30. Mm-hmm. And he now is, how come I have 11? Oh, that's why Lohan was here.
Mm-hmm.
How, Danny, on the side note, did you ever go in someone's medicine cabinet back in the day when you were using and look and see if they had any
pain? I do it today.
You do?
He physically goes into the medicine cabinet. He's that small.
He crawls in.
It's like Alice in Wonderland.
But you ever like go, well, there's 30 Viking in here. They won't miss two.
No, I said there's 30 Viking in here. They were, okay, do you want to know who you're talking to? My 80-year-old mother had surgery, and I took half her painkillers.
Not all.
Right? You leave an 80-year-old woman, you know, enough to get by, and I figure she can get more because they won't give them to me.
Right.
You know, I could be bleeding from both eyes, and nobody's going to give me Vicodin because they know me. They say, no, I can't give that guy Vicodin. He's just going to have to tough it out. We can't string him back out. But an 80-year-old lady who just had surgery, they're going to give her whatever she wants. So I didn't feel all that guilty. But go in and take two because some guy has 30 and won't miss them.
Yeah.
Who are you talking to? If you're going to steal some guy's meds, steal some guy's meds. Steal the whole bottle, make him think he misplaced them while he was high on Vicodin.
And don't do it the dumb way my buddy Dave used to steal my Tylenol PM. I know it sounds like lightweight. I had Tylenol PM in my house, and I'd probably have it once a year or twice a year when I had a sleepless night. Well, my buddy Dave, who used to work on my house, would pilfer two a day every day, not thinking I would notice,
right,
except
eroding.
For I would pop it open, and they'd all be gone, because if you take two a day, but the guy only pops the lid on the thing every 6 months, you can do the math on that. I'd pilfer the whole thing like Bonaducci.
Said the guy was wasted, but he stoned, misplaced your whole thing of Vicodin, you idiot.
Right.
Another story on the lesbian tip. We were just talking about Ellen. There's been a study out of Boston University School of Public Health, and here is what they found. In the United States, lesbians are 269% more likely to be overweight. 269%.
Hold on. Let me scrape myself off the floor.
Yeah.
This is a shocking revelation.
And 247% more likely to be obese than mm-hmm. heterosexual women.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another thing they found. Mm-hmm. Lesbians who are overweight are not embarrassed as much as heterosexual women are. The study finds that they're more likely to embrace their chubbiness and realize it's beautiful. And other women who are chubby are also beautiful.
Hold on. Please, with this realize it's beautiful crap that you and Tyra Banks are trying to spoon feed the nation.
From the American Journal of Public Health.
We'll decide what's beautiful by checking our divining rod that's in our underpants, people. And when mine is bone dry, it ain't beautiful. I know the biggest beautiful fat is beautiful. Monique, you can talk all you want about it.
Right.
Yeah, anyone can talk all you want about it. We ain't into it, and there's a reason why dieting is a $2 billion a year, $20 billion a year, $100 billion a year industry. It's not because fat is beautiful. Believe
you
me.
You know the girl who insists I'm happy this way, and she's not more. Let's make her 100 to 50 to 100 pounds overweight.
Okay.
But I'm happy like this. Mm-hmm. She's lying to you.
Mm-hmm.
I've never met an untortured fat woman.
I've never met a person that said I'm happy this way and then said anything that I believed was happy that way. You know,
right.
I'm glad I lost my eyesight. I'm glad I got
right.
my divorce.
That's
I'm
all,
glad I,
right.
sorry about this. I'm That's glad cool. I put the weight on.
I'd rather lose my eyesight.
Let me explain why the lesbian community is heavy set. Couple of reasons. Twofold. They'll never really get into it, because then that would be judging, and we can't do that. We'll just make these proclamations because we're men of science that this happens, but we'll not offer any explanation. I'll tell you why. First off, as we've always talked about, motivation. I've said that Friday, instead of being casual Friday at the workplace, should be go to work in your underpants Friday. Everyone would be working out the entire week. You're motivated. I said the reason I'm not 400 pounds is because every 2 weeks I have to do something where I'm going to look at myself on camera. I just got back from New York. I was going to the Tribeca Film Festival. I 2 weeks beforehand said, I got to take it easy, man. I got to start exercising a little more, shed a couple pounds so I look decent walking down the red carpet. I got back and I ate a pizza last night. Why?
You're
back
not
from the red
sure.
thing. Don't have to walk down the red carpet. The lesbians never really have to walk down that red carpet because they're not looking to attract men, and men surround the red carpet.
Right, and for some
reason, we're the paparazzi.
I think
and this is just my own right off the top of my head.
Danny's got a red carpet.
Girth. No, I don't. I have no carpet anymore.
I couldn't stop myself.
Ever since that old lady shaved me, I decided it was the coolest
thing
ever.
Tell you something about Bonaducci. He put down hardwood. You understand? No more carpet anymore in the Bonaducci residence.
Okay. Draw a little dot on the top of Brian's head. You now have my penis. Okay, so
got a laser sight on it now. He's coming for you.
That was my urethra.
Would be eerie to put a laser sight on your wiener.
I just threw up in my mouth. I'm sorry, you were saying.
I have no idea what I was saying anymore. Something about I think girth, size, weight equals strength equals manliness.
Well, there's a couple. There's a few things. One is you're not. When you don't have to be attractive, you ever see a group of women when they get together and it's just the ladies and they know they're not going to see a guy? Whatever they're doing, they're going a day at the spa or they're going a weekend at the spa. Well, the makeup stops going on. They stop primping. They stop. Women, heterosexual women, whether they're in a relationship or not, are constantly making themselves presentable to men. They're thinking, what do men like? This is what I must give men. Sad but true. When you're a lesbian, you erase that. Thus, no walking down the red carpet. That's number one.
Their aesthetic may be different,
yes,
to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's that too, but women aren't aesthetically oriented or not as aesthetically inclined. So if you're trying to attract women, do it with your job, do it with your personality, right. Do it with anything but your hair, your makeup, and your ass. There you go. Number one. Number two, now it gets a little controversial. Ooh. There's a lot of people that gain weight as a way to keep people away from them. It's taking themselves out of the game.
It's a physical version, I think, of self-mutilation, over-piercing, things like that.
It is. It's also sort of a flesh chastity belt in a way. It's a way to take yourself out of the game.
Yeah, you're less sexualized if you're chubby.
Right. A fair amount. I don't know what the percentage is, but I know it's a fair amount of lesbians, as I've always said, were created. Somebody got to them. Somebody molested them. Somebody did something horrible to them. When that happens to a person, when they get sexualized at age 9, they take themselves out of the game. Part of that weight gain is taking yourself out of the sexual game.
Well, I want you to know, if you're out there and that anything has taken you out of the game and you are now 250, 300 pounds, you still have a shot at me.
Yeah, Coach Bonaducci will put you right back out of that field.
I can get you into shape. First of all, I'm a certified trainer. I can get you into shape. But secondly, and more importantly, I don't care. Unless you have fallen into a sausage grinder, you're my girl.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Hold on. Good name for TV.
Teresa Strasser with the real news.
You don't want to see how CNN. The sausage gets made.
You just want to make the sausage.
Sorry, Brian, didn't mean to sneak up on you.
All right. We need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, speaking of the sausage grinder, Bill, pre-op, board-op, Bill. Went down to New York City with me. He filed a report. He took the recorder. He walked the red carpet. He talked to many celebrities, and we will hear that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show, someone's going to win $10,000 for booking the best guest during the month of April. Here's another Outbook August in April nominee, John Kerry.
We thought the truth was out there sufficiently. They spent millions of dollars spreading the lie. And we have what we have. We have a presidency that's reeling in scandal and reeling in incompetence in Iraq and ignoring every major issue, frankly, here at home. It's a stunning, it's just an incredible statement.
Well, now that brings me to two questions. Who would you like to see win? And does everyone tell you you look like the mascot from the Patriots football team?
Who's going to win $10,000? We'll find out at the end of today's show. If you'd like to sway the voting, go to AdamCarolla.com. Now back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on the Adam Carolla Show.
I may vote for Kerry just because he yelled at Bonaducci.
Why was he yelling?
Bonaducci was like, excuse me, sir, I think you may have misunderstood the question. He was like, I did not misunderstand. I'll tell you why. Because when you're 6'4" and you have 3% body fat and you have 5, bronze medals and $60 billion in the bank, you just don't get corrected that often.
Oh, that's probably
there's
true.
There's certain people, I've had this happen before in my life. You ever yell at somebody or you go, hey, Dillweed, and you when they look at you, you realize, oh my God, nobody's ever corrected this person in the last 20 years. You may not know who they are, but they are somebody in their world.
Right.
And they've not, that's, when I got into it famously with my coach in the Dodger All-Star game, who I thought was just some third base coach from Albuquerque. I didn't know he was the king of show business. When I called the guy an a-hole and told him I would beat his ass right out on the pitcher's mound, he looked at me as if he hadn't been told off in 40 years. Right. And I'm sure he hadn't. He was surprised and he went nuts. But there is that person. They never get corrected. Then there's the guy who works down in the crappy menial jobs here. It's like, hey, arse, you missed a spot. Right. Let's go, brother. You know what I mean? There's a difference between people that get corrected all day and people haven't been corrected in 20 years. I'm guessing that Carrie hadn't been corrected in a while.
But there are no difference between people who are mistaken.
That's true. It's just how they take it.
You know, I'll bet money, no matter who you are talking to, if they were wrong and you were right, their station in life would matter to you nil.
That's true.
Because I totally get you on that regard. That's something you cannot bear.
Yeah, although I would quickly point it out to Ozzy and probably slow down when it came to Carrie. I can't help it. I'm a puss. Speaking of pusses, board-op bill. Pre-op, board-op bill. And by the way, it's not really pre-op. I just think it's funny.
Yeah. you've confused our listeners.
I like to think of all gay men as pre-op. Anytime I can make anything more insulting, that's the direction I'm going.
And by the way, he's no pussy. He was a wrestling champion, and he wrestled a guy in lube here.
He didn't back in wrestle him. He assaulted him.
I know. Entirely different. He is scrappy.
Very.
And he is game.
You know what I like most about him?
Hmm.
I think he looks at my ass.
Wait. I think we can find out for sure.
He's got little boy booty.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm 47 years old, and a young homosexual just complimented my ass.
My boyfriend thinks you have a nice little boy booty too. Mm-hmm. It's like a little 9-year-old booty.
It's like a horrible.
It's not supposed to be child pornography type thing. But no, it's just like you have a little cute booty.
It would make me gay if to say thank you. I gave them both up.
Bill, what am I, chopped liver over here, by the way?
No, you definitely have little boy booty, too.
Yeah. Now we're talking. That's right.
Now, who else has got some stories?
About scummy whore homosexual boy.
He hasn't commented on Sound Guy Brian.
All right.
I think that's what I like best in most people, though. If they want me in any possible way.
So Gay Bill went with me to Tribeca. I brought his tape recorder, and he filed a report. We also do a New York Tribeca version of Gay Walking, which we'll get into later in the week. But this is him on the red carpet. At the beginning, I think he's talking to people on the way in, and we start with Howard Stern.
Howard Stern.
How you doing?
Very good.
How's things?
Things are great.
Right.
How do you feel having Adam Carolla as your protege? I mean, you do a movie, you get number one ratings, you have a therapist, you talk about your parents.
Well, you know what? I think the radio that I pioneered is a successful formula and format. And a lot of guys have jumped in. Adam's a true wit. He's a talent. And, you know, he's doing good. He's doing well. And I think I wish him a lot of luck.
What do you expect to get out of this movie? Out of Heather Jurgensen, maybe.
I expect probably to get a good nap. That's what you always expect going into a movie. But Adam might surprise me. I'm pulling for him. Even if the movie blows, I'm going to tell everyone it was great.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's the best thing a friend can do. I think it will be great. He's a good guy and a talented guy.
All right.
Did anybody else hear the words Jurgensen's pull off, pull out, and blow? Yeah. Did anyone else hear that?
You can't do your own Mad Lib on a conversation.
That was outlandish. That was total code.
Hold on. I rarely say this, but T, take one for the team.
Okay.
Bonaducci hasn't been late in almost 9 hours, and he can't focus.
I know.
Now, Bill or T, look, I'm not going to flip a coin, rock, paper, scissor, whatever you got to do, but Bonaducci's got to blow off some steam.
Hey, things are a little rough today, aren't they, Danny?
In what sense of the word?
You know.
All right.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I'm going to attempt to push forward here.
He's doing it again.
Gabe brought up a bill down on the red carpet in Tribeca. Now, the next person, by the way, he said Jurgensen, Heather, she's the co-star. She's the female from Kissing Jessica Stein. You can rent that. It's a good movie. He speaks to Cameron Manheim here, and I guess Cameron will bring up Kevin Hanch, the guy I wrote the movie with, and Heather, the actress as well, who are a couple. So here's Cameron Manheim.
As a dear friend of Kevin Hanch and Heather Jurgensen, I hear that Adam has cleaned himself up pretty well for this film, so I'm coming with an open mind.
And what do you expect? That was my question. I was going to ask you, as an experienced actress, what do you think Adam's going to bring to the film for you?
Well, I happen to have had the ear of the writer and the co-star, and I know that they are absolutely impressed and so thrilled with his performance, and I think that they already have a bar that's very high, so I actually have very high hopes for it and expecting a great film.
Okay, first of all, you guys are right. I just realized that. Everything sounds like sex to me. Everything everyone says.
Cameron Manheim wasn't a little saltpeter sprinkled on your ass on a shingle?
Nope, not at the
Didn't
moment.
Didn't slow you down?
But I mean,
still turned you on.
I got it that you guys are absolutely right. Everything is sounding sexual. But I have a legitimate question for you, sir. You play, and you're always in reasonably good shape, which is a lot to say about a guy 40 years old, that you're always in condition. You never let yourself go.
Well,
how good a condition did you get in to play a professional athlete?
Nay, you know, the reality is I look about the same. Part of the reason I got into good shape because I knew I'd be doing 19-hour days and I'd be doing a ton of physical stuff. Right. And if I got sick or injured in any way, everything would be screwed up because I was in every shot of every scene. So I lost about 10 pounds. I got into decent shape. Part of the story is a guy who doesn't look like quite the specimen still being effective in the ring. So the reality is I looked about the same minus about 8 pounds, but I...
Yeah, but you minus 8 pounds is...
I got into shape, I got strong, and I got healthy. And I didn't, you know, everyone is worried about the aesthetic side of getting in shape, and that's great. But the other good part is you don't get sick as much, you have more energy, you can run. I knew it was going to be the toughest month of my life because I was doing this show and doing that. I knew I would get, you know, you run yourself down, you get sick, you get injured, and so you have to strengthen yourself. Almost like when they have those stories of the guy who fell off a cliff and they say, if he wasn't a world-class triathlete, he'd be dead.
Right.
Because he sustained so many injuries, it was kind of like that. I knew I was going to throw myself off a cliff for a month, and I needed to kind of get strong for it. But if you see me, I still look like a puss. All right. Charles Wormfeld is the director of the movie, and Gay Bill spoke to him.
Legally Blonde 2 is your movie. Did Adam ever make fun of you?
Legally Blonde 2, Kissing Jessica Stein, Adam Carolla. It's perfect. It's a perfect marriage. Of course Adam made fun of me. Of course it's perfect. It's just like, but it's, I really love this man. I think he's an incredible, compassionate, wise, perceptive, hilarious human being. And I'm just honored to have made a movie with him.
All right. Now this is starting to make me uncomfortable.
It's Ass Kiss Radio.
That's about how many minutes after that interview did you have sex with that man?
Well, it was him and his boyfriend, and it was in the after party.
He was currently having sex with his leg while he was doing the interview. All right, really, I can't stomach much more of this. Is Ozzy? Ozzy's next. Does he say anything bad about me?
What?
Bill, we have Ozzy next. Does he say anything bad? I can't take the praise.
I'm not really sure. I think he says most stuff about New York City, but I'm really not sure. Maybe you could translate.
Ozzy was out of his mind and out of his element.
Yeah.
Ozzy was wearing a suit. He had a smile bigger than his head. He brought his entire family, and he was just loving on every second of life. I mean, when Ozzy walked down that red carpet... I mean, here's a guy who 20 years ago was being tortured in Nicaragua, and here's a guy who 15 years ago I was yelling at while I was getting yelled at to hurry up and finish the gym we were building, and now he's in Tribeca, and he's walking down the red carpet, and he's co-starring in this movie. He was out of his mind. So let's hear Ozzy and see if we can understand anything he says.
Oswaldo.
Good, my friend. How are you doing?
Very good. How are you doing today?
Very good. Very excited, man.
Yeah. So, is this your first movie?
My first movie, maybe coming other, you know?
And do you think that you're going to win the Oscar just like that girl did in Dreamgirls?
I don't think it too much, you know, but maybe I am taking something.
Okay. What was your favorite scene? What was your favorite thing in the film? What should I look out for as a viewer?
You know, in the time Adam asking me something, I talk to Adam over the opportunity in this world, you know, in this city, in this country, you know, do something for yourself, do something for your country. This is my the best thing, you know. I work in this movie. I don't care the moment, you know, working all time, you know, in the film and in the movie. At the moment, you know, the conscience. At the moment, you know.
All right, I've had enough, Bill. Really.
And the title.
We were gonna subtitle Ozzy. And then I thought, well, the way to do it is just to do it like you're having one of those conversations on the phone in a sitcom where you just repeat everything he says.
Yeah.
Like Ozzy would go, hey, why don't we go to work? And I'd go, why don't we go to work? I'll tell you why we don't go to work. And I realized there's a way without translating, you can just translate without the subtitles. You just have to physically repeat every single thing.
Somebody says, how you doing?
Sometimes Gretchen fights like that. I'll go, well, you're just an ass. And she'll say, you're just an ass. You don't do anything around here. You don't do anything around here.
Yeah, if you hit,
you change the inflection and you're fighting back.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't actually know who's doing it after a while.
You're now, doing it.
You're doing it.
No, you're. See, if you slow it, yeah. The first one you go hard, you're doing it, and then the next one you slow down, you're doing it.
Right, and then you change off to what it is that's making you mad. You never put anything away.
You never put anything away. I know you are, but what am I?
I just realized something. Hmm. You're married.
No, I understand something, too. I'm rubber, and you're glue, and whatever. Okay. Bill.
Yeah, Ozzy did that to every single reporter on down the line. He did not miss one reporter. There must be about an hour and a half worth of tape.
Hour, and he's still there. It's dark, and he's speaking into a mic stand right now in Tribeca.
Every single person he tortured all the way down the line.
Like he was tortured back in the home country.
All right, well, that was the pre-red carpet or the walk down the red carpet. Now Bill got them exiting the theater to see what their real feelings were.
What did you think of the film, Robin?
I thought it was great. Lots of laughs, and Adam was a wonderful actor in it. It was great. It's really funny.
I loved it. Unbelievable. Total surprise. I mean, it's a great film.
Adam was fantastic, and Heather was gorgeous and always talented.
The boxing and the humor and the acting was terrific.
The jump roping, actually. I mean, just the whole thing. I don't want to sound weird, but I mean, the jump roping was really impressive.
It was awesome. He rocks.
I think Adam is just so natural that it looks like he's just making it up as he goes.
So who's your favorite character?
Ozzy. We can't believe that one guy, the Mexican guy, never acted before.
Nicaragua.
I thought the whole movie was just like really funny, lots of laughter, and like wasn't like your typical like laugh. It was really funny and laugh out loud.
Brilliant, actually, very well done.
Howard, what did you think of the movie?
Wonderful, really, really great.
Boom, 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 boom.
Nice. Wow.
Nice. Hey, I want to see, I'm really, you know, made me pick the song that I thought was from Vision Quest, even though I was wrong by a decade. The thing that made me pick that was actually, or that movie, the jump rope scene.
Since what's a decade? 15 years, but go ahead.
Day and a half. The jump rope scene, when mm-hmm. Matthew Modine learned to jump rope, mm-hmm. and then trying to be a boxer, I have tried to learn to skip rope, like you mean business, because it's so memorable if you can really do it. It sounds like that's really going to stick in people's minds. It's like, and this is going to sound like I'm maybe overblowing a compliment, but it's going to be your version, I believe,
of De Niro gaining and losing weight for Raging Bull.
Well, that is overstated, but thank
you.
Look
what he learned. I know you knew how to do it pretty well beforehand, but people are going to think you learned to do that.
Most guys, aren't good at skipping rope, even guys that are good at
boxing. And I'm assuming you do this with the crossing your arm.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, but Danny, I was wearing tennis shoes. You do it in cowboy boots.
I do it in cowboy boots.
Which is a disadvantage with the heel and everything. Well, Bill, thank you very much.
It was
very flattering and uncomfortable simultaneously.
Thank you.
We will take ourselves a break. When we come back, Lynn and Alex, the gay couple from The Amazing Race. Oh, you remember these two. It was about two seasons ago, I do believe. Amazing Race, best of all the reality shows. Not the most watched, just the best. You don't believe them? They win an Emmy every year for best reality show. Lynn and Alex have started their own gossip website. Gay guys gossiping?
What?
Unbelievable.
The hell's going
on? She tasted like champagne.
I heard my lawyer's Jewish, too.
We will.
It's the weirdest thing.
We will bring them in next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Coming up this morning on The Adam Carolla Show, someone's going to win $10,000 for booking the best guest during the month of April. Here's another Outbook August in April nominee, Ray Liotta.
I did a week on a movie in Bulgaria. You really come back and understand why people kiss the ground after you've been to a place like that? The people are nice, blah, 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 but it's just a whole different world.
Sometimes you come back and you kiss the ground, but then you kiss a girl because you appreciate that they wax their lips in America. I didn't know chicks had mustaches. That's normal.
The thing I like about a place like Bulgaria and a couple other places that are harder and harder to find is I love downtrodden white people.
It's just a whole different world, man.
It's just normally when it's a whole different world, the people don't look like you. It's funny when they look like you and it's a whole different world.
Who's going to win $10,000? We'll find out at the end of today's show. If you'd like to sway the voting, go to adamcarolla.com. Now back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, back to my favorite gay couple, Alex and Lynn.
Hey, we're everybody's favorite gay
amazing,
Adam.
That's what I've heard.
Amazing Race Season 7 a couple of years back. That show is probably the best show the least people watch. Not that it does horrible in the ratings, but it is better than all the other so-called reality shows. And everyone who watches it, and even that doesn't watch it, admits it. I mean, it wins the Emmy every year too, right?
Every year it has won the Emmy. Absolutely, I would say it's one of the few reality shows that is still actually a reality show.
Yeah. By the way, if you're wondering who is speaking, this is how it was relayed to me to how to know who is who. This will really help you in radio. Alex is the gay guy in the tie, and Lynn is the gay guy. The gay guys go, God, you're gay.
I'm gay to gay guys.
There you go. I just wanted to clear that up. So that's how you'll know who's talking.
Which is so funny, because when you're on reality TV, people put you down for how gay you are. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what, dude?
Well, what about traveling through some of these countries who may not be quite as evolved as we are when it comes to gay couples? Did you guys experience any trouble?
Wow, Adam, that's a good question. I would say no. They were just like overwhelmed by our like overt gayness that they didn't even know really how to respond. You know, I really think that.
So you gave them the gay bum rush and they didn't know what to do.
I'm talking to Boa, the whole deal. No, it wasn't really. I mean, the interaction with the people that were in the countries was more based on like they were just excited to see a camera.
Yeah, but Alex didn't even tell his Muslim dad that he was gay till it came out on TV. Smart move, dude.
Is there any better way to tell your dad who's Muslim than on national television?
Well, it's easier to come out to your parents when you're famous.
Yeah, but not famous for being gay when your dad's Muslim.
Dad did an amazing race to kill himself.
Yeah, no, fame makes gay okay, man.
Yeah, it really does.
Well, Carson Kressley from Queer Eye didn't come out until that show was on the air.
Yeah, what? But that's like saying I didn't come out until I was on the air. I mean, Under Gear catalogs, let's get real.
You
people.
Guys have been a couple.
I'm sorry,
you guys have been a couple for 7 years, right?
7 years, which is like 20 in gay years. Mm-hmm. We are like breaking boundaries left and right. We are gay pioneers, people of the world.
And we got married 2 years ago in Canada, which was really, really great.
It was
awesome.
It was really awesome.
Wow.
I do.
I do.
I do.
Where's my ring, bitch?
You guys know. So, are you sure you're not super straight performance artists?
Oh, wow.
That would be so awesome.
That's very interesting.
And you guys just go out to the car and you blow a butt and you go, I can't believe this.
Blow a butt.
Crap.
Well, that
you know
is
what
really
I'm talking
good.
How did
about.
You guys meet?
How dare you,
sir? We met at a gay bar called The Rainbow.
Which was closed down. It was closed down because there was too many shankings.
Yes, lesbian what? Shankings. They love to stab each other. I think it's that whole penis envy thing, you know? They just get a knife and they
was
just go
poking. Was it here in West Hollywood?
No.
No, it was in a beautiful metropolitan city of Bakersfield.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is like an hour and a half outside of L.A. and it's very rural and Republican.
You can't be gay in Bakersfield.
I know, right?
It has. See, you and I remember the Valley as like a third world nation, and now
right.
it's metropolitan.
Right.
Bakersfield's huge and has a pretty big gay community
it
now.
Really
there
does.
There was a time mm-hmm. where, I hate to say this because it actually happened in the news 8 years ago or something like that, but there was a time in Bakersfield they had to string you up.
Oh, right. Totally. I mean,
they said those homos, they can't come here to Bakersfield. Uh-huh. But now, there's got to be, what, 5 gay bars in Bakersfield?
There's
think?
One.
Well,
there's
no,
one.
There were a time when there's three. There's yeah. three. Should uh-huh. I say the names for free drinks for
Why
life?
Why not, yeah. just because it's always fun.
Totally. Casablanca, The Rainbow, yes. and then what's the other one?
I think that's it now.
Oh, yeah, because,
I love the sound effects.
Well, if I went, say, to the Abbey for brunch on yes. Sunday, would I see you guys there?
Yeah, probably.
Sometimes. We go there a lot with Rebecca from Workout. She's one of our right. good friends right now.
You know all the reality TV people
yes,
because you report
do.
On that for your website.
And
yes,
we report
and for Reality
on
Remix.
Let me,
reality.
Let me give the website out and then make this comment. It's Lynn and Alex World. .com. You get all the celebrity gossip. You know, I'm so envious of the gays. It is a lifestyle. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You are living it.
Yes.
The thing about being straight is you're straight, you have sex with a woman, but the other things you do aren't straight. There's no straight bar. There's just a bar.
Right.
Oh, it's a straight bar. We like special rights.
We don't drive a Miata or have a Subaru Outback to get around in. We just drive a Taurus or a car. You
oh,
know what
yeah,
I mean?
That's shameful,
this,
really.
It's the difference between the guys that are fans of the team and the guys that are on the team. We're just wearing the jerseys, but we're up in the stands. Mm-hmm. You guys are out on the field.
Yes, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. We
going
are working the trenches of the gay world.
Right.
I'll tell you how you know it's a major difference. Mm-hmm. Because there is something close to a straight bar, and that is a hardcore sports bar.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had my choice between, say, Champs, I don't know if that's a real name, I'm just making it up, if it is, I apologize.
Right.
If I had my choice between going to Champs or going to Rage on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Or Champs.
I'd be at Rage so fast. What a much better time for me.
Well, I gotta tell you, that is smart because you go in there rocking those bedazzled jeans.
Hell yeah, and those pecs. Oh my God, I'm getting erect over
here.
He's
got a great body, right?
Yes, and I've seen him with his shirt off many times.
Hold on, you've seen Bonaduce
we
with
his shirt
off?
We were at some party and he was on the red carpet with his shirt off.
Yeah, I've seen him with his shirt off.
If I had that body,
That is not the Danny Bonaducci that I know. Hold on, his shirt's coming off.
Look at that. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
I love
this.
I love that.
Oh, no.
Give him a Danny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's so burly, man. Wow. Okay, I'm tingling all over.
And he smells nice, though.
Yeah, he does. He
I love like, Axe. Axe is hot. You guys love some Axe.
You love
Axe.
Oh, I was hoping he said it on my ass and referring to me.
And he's virtually hairless, which is a great gay personality trait.
Yeah, no snail trail or anything. He definitely waxes
all
ladies.
All the way down, boys.
Wow.
Everybody, like, some guys like the bears.
Yeah, I don't like to pick things out of my teeth. I'm just going to say it.
You guys
the show has reached a new low.
Well, yes. Or a new high.
I'll tell Kimmel to keep a shirt on next time you guys see him.
Oh, well, Kimmel's just a furry little bear of love.
I got to say, he's the holy grail of all the bear fans. If they could take him down.
I think, by the way, I just proved your point, how wonderful it would be to be gay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Imagine if these are two really hot women, and for no reason at all, I felt I had the right to take off half my clothes and go over there and kiss them.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
They'd have me arrested.
Yes.
And my little homosexual lovers over here. We're very pleased.
We encourage
God bless
it.
You.
Yes.
We would be having meaningless sex, Danny,
right
while you smoke during the commercial break. Do you understand?
I have a smoke for you, Danny.
No, we would have a double stacked microphone.
That's right.
And we just do the show.
Let's push forward. Speaking of speaking
and
of gossip,
and
then forward again with the celebrity gossip. Who do we want to start with, Tyra?
You do love some Tyra, don't you, Adam?
Yes, Adam. I heard that you don't like Tyra. Is that true?
Here's my thing about Tyra.
Okay.
And it's my thing about most people who are exquisite narcissists.
Oh, good.
I have a problem with it. I have nothing against Tyra other than how much she loves herself.
Yes.
And she uses every opportunity to let you know how great she is.
Yes.
And as I said, it started for me many years ago when I was at a boxing gym and I was looking up at the headshots that the celebrities do. The guy trains Matt Damon. Matt Damon gives him a headshot and says, "Hey, buddy, you're the best."
Right.
It's the celebrity thing to do.
Right.
Tyra brought in her own picture in a bikini. Now, everyone else had a picture with their arm around the trainer, just sweaty, but Tyra brought her own bikini, black and white bikini with the lights glistening and all oiled up.
Yeah.
And it's instead of saying, "Thanks, Terry, you're the best," it said, "Thanks for making me strong, powerful, lean." I mean, you know how people take the compliment and then turn it back to themselves?
Right.
"You're the greatest trainer in the world because I'm hot stuff."
Yeah. Did she sign the photograph?
Butterfly.
Yeah.
She just should have signed it butter.
That was five years ago.
I said,
okay, there's a blowhard, but I'll give her a pass. But everything I see from her at this point on
is a fanny
party. Amazing Race, and now you know people that are in the trenches of reality TV. So what do you hear from the set of Top Model?
Well, first of all, from Top Model, we worked with Tyra. We were correspondents on her television show, and they re-air it all the time. But here's what happened. We flew to New York. They told us we were going to be correspondents and come back like every other week.
We were going to be tie testers, if you will.
Yeah, that was our name, tie testers. Yes.
Of course, it has her name in it.
So
I didn't get it at all.
So we fly to New York. We do the show. We come back. We're on our couch. And at the end of the show, we ask her, "Hey, Tyra, is it okay if we work the runway with you? We've always dreamed of working the runway."
You know, gay guys, runway, black supermodels.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. So we go to work the runway, and I run over first, and she runs over with Lynn. And Lynn thought it would be really funny if he pushed her.
Well, you know, it'd be funny if I just push her out of the way. Obviously, she's the diva. So I push her out of the way, and I do the runway first. Hysterical. It was really funny. Good times, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, she fired us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she didn't like to be pushed. And I have to say, it was much like pushing a Tempur-Pedic mattress. I tell you, is being a model, squishy? Like, do you just get to say you're a model forever? Is it like when you're a president, you just get to be president forever?
Well,
she's a big girl.
She officially...
I mean, she thinks she's Oprah in every way, people.
Look, she wanted to be a national holiday when she hung up her Victoria's Secret wings 2 years ago. I mean, come on.
She needs more than wings to lift her up.
She's good looking. She's semi-smart. She's semi-funny. She's semi-entertaining. There's nothing wrong with her. My only beef is she has no beef with herself, and she's beefy.
Yeah,
right.
She's a big girl. She thinks she's Oprah, people. We got to tell her. Somebody send her a letter.
Right. And on her set, during the commercial, she has 5 to 7 people run to her. One puts lotion on her elbows and her ankles.
But don't get ashy.
Yeah, no, she doesn't want to get ashy, and she does get a little dry.
And everyone on the set of Top Model has to refer to her as precious.
Really?
What?
I gotta tell you this, as I have the best time bashing the bejesus out of people. It's just my favorite thing.
Oh, yeah, it's so much fun.
But I did the show recently and found her to be odd.
Yes.
But I didn't see any of that.
Really? Yeah. When we went to a commercial break, I would say 4 to 5 people came up to her. One literally put a Kleenex to her nose while she blew her nose.
You know what this could be? That I'm just jaded. Because I've seen so many people and so many talk show hosts treated like that.
Yeah, I was like, where's my people?
Well, when I hear you say it, it sounds like so bizarre, but now that I think about it, I've seen it so many times, maybe I just took no notice.
Oh, yeah, and then they literally positioned her legs and positioned her arms, and then when the camera came to, she was just like, dude,
If that's normal for you, Danny, I got a better scoop. Okay.
Uh-oh, hey now.
So everyone knows that Sanjaya's mom, Julian Blythe, was arrested years ago. The National Enquirer reported it. You guys were talking about it last week.
Right, for selling pot.
Right, for selling pot. Well, at the beginning of the American Idol finals this year, Julian Blythe went to Brandon Rogers, the African-American guy who was in the finals of American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
She went to his party because they invited all the American Idols over to Brandon's house. Well, a source of ours was at the party and saw that Sanjaya wasn't there and neither was his sister, but his mom came and smoked weed the entire night with all the other American Idol contestants.
Loves it. Now, that can't be good for the voice, people.
That's not good for the voice.
Unless it's a vaporizer.
Look, it's a shorter list of people who are in the entertainment industry, especially singers, that don't smoke weed. It's like Celine Dion and the guy who plays the pan flute are the only two guys that aren't on the Herb when it comes to the music scene. And speaking of the Herb, by the way, and speaking of Tyra wanting being called the Precious, Dawson wants to be called His Highness, by the way. He spells Highness a little bit differently.
And Alex wants to be called Your Hiney.
Yes. Well, he is. What about Jeremy Piven?
Well, Jeremy Piven's an interesting story because if you look at Jeremy Piven throughout the 90s, you see that he's going bald, and then poof, he's on Entourage, and bing, he's got tons of hair.
Yeah. Baldy, the makeup artist, makes that happen, people.
Him and, there's another blowhard over there, Piven.
Yes.
Oh, my God. We actually, you know, Rebecca from Workout knows Jeremy. Okay.
Wait a second.
I'll just remember once when he was on Loveline, I said to him, Jeremy, you've been in every third movie that's ever been made for the last 12 years. How is that possible? How do you land every single one? And I thought he was going to say, the casting couch or something. And he just got deadly serious. And he was like, I prepare. I get every script. I study the script. I walk in. And I was trying to screw with him a little bit. Right. Yes, it's a craft. I take it seriously. I work with my coach. He gave me a long-winded, super blowhard answer, like he was a professional athlete, talking about preparing for the season. I just thought, oh, Christ, this guy's no fun. Plus, I will not hang around with people who prepare.
Yes,
and Jaya's mom, I'm going to smoke some weed and talk about my next nap.
Right. And also, he has a hair weave, but the makeup artist on the set of Entourage just painted in.
I heard from a very good source that he has actually had the surgery. We're talking plugs, people. Plugs of the world.
Well, speaking of plugs, uh-oh, let me give the gay
Ragmag
couple a plug.
Lynn
and AlexWorld.com is where you go.
Way, I'm sorry, Lynn is L-Y-N-N, for those of you that are like me and just would spell nine
different
ways. And
Ragmag is a separate site?
No, it's actually the same one. Okay. We bought both of them.
Yeah.
We're just throwing money.
Yeah, whether you're Nick Cage or the aforementioned Jeremy Piven, you can't get more hair from 1992 to 07. I mean,
yeah,
Nick Cage has more hair than he had in Raising Arizona.
True. Right.
That's not physically. You can lose weight.
Uh-huh. Yes, you can.
But your nose can't get smaller unless you get a nose job, and you can't get more hair. It doesn't work that way. And by the way, what do we have to look forward to when you're in your 70s?
Maybe a long weave.
Huge. I mean, at this rate, you're going to be like Big Furball.
Totally.
Like
afro. That could be hot.
Do you two, since you have a gossip site, do you know Perez Hilton? Should he be worried that you guys are nipping at his heels?
No, not
Perez
at
Hilton
all.
Perez Hilton should not be worried. We are doing celebrity.
High heels,
we
by
do
the way.
Celebrity reality, basically, is our
that's your niche.
So that's our niche.
And also, our niche on our website is putting all of the photos and stories that other people don't publish. So when you see a picture of, Sienna Miller and her boobs are blacked out,
which
or
is the
nipples,
worst, right, Adam? You hate that.
Right. That's the worst. You want to go to the internet and see it. So that's what we put on
our
website.
We put nudity. That's what you're on the internet for, right? Am I right?
By the way, when it comes to celebrities with the teeth whitening and the hair weaving and the plugs and all that kind of stuff, look, it's the business. I understand. But it's throwing the curve off.
Yes.
It is. Here's what it is. Everyone is getting bigger boobs and whiter teeth and more hair. They're not aging and so on and so forth. Everyone's permanently tanned. And what it's like is we're all sitting in a math class and everyone has a calculator but me.
Right.
Oh,
and now they're throwing the curve off for me because my 63 would have been good except for everyone got 100% because they busted out a calculator. I say it's not fair. My teeth weren't yellow until everyone else's teeth got ultra white, and then my teeth got yellow because I sat in between the people with the ultra white teeth.
You have white teeth.
I think you have very pearly teeth,
Thank
Adam.
You.
They're so sexy to me.
Plus, you're talking to two gay men about the rigors of having to look perfect.
I live in West Hollywood. Oh, my God. And I
little slice of Bakersfield right here in Southern California.
Oh, it's ridiculous. You can't leave the house without a full face of makeup. I'm just telling you.
You won't go to a liquor store without putting foundation on.
Yeah, I am telling you, full face, people. You got to be oiled up. You have to put a towel in your crotch. You got to be packing heat if you're walking around the meat market.
When you sign a lease in West Hollywood, you also sign a release for a body dysmorphia disorder.
Yes. I have that. And then, like you get free kits of amyl nitrate and all that good stuff, you know.
Never found that to be what it's cracked up to be.
No, it's so overrated. It's just headache city, right?
Gross. We need to take ourselves a break. Alex and Lynn, thank you.
I love them. I hope they come back.
LARagMag.com. LARagMag.com. Yes. Also, of course, you can go to LynnAndAlexWorld.com.
All right.
And probably my two new favorite homosexuals ever.
Right? You'll see us again very soon.
Are you kidding? We're going dancing.
Hey, now.
Well, if not in a studio in hell. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with a little news on the Outbook August and April.
Coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show, someone's going to win $10,000 for booking the best guest during the month of April. Here's another Outbook August and April nominee, Jamie Foxx.
Are you dating anyone?
Of course.
Are you dating everyone?
I mean, you gotta be selected, you know what I'm saying?
He's doing it the smart way, which he announces. He does what Clooney does. He gets it out there that he's a confirmed bachelor, that he's not looking to get married, right? And then anyone who goes out with him knows the ground rules in advance.
Exactly. Then that way you kind of keep the air clear. I think the most important thing is just keeping it honest, man.
If you walk into Jamie's green room and he's on top of his publicist, hey, it's Jamie.
That's Jamie.
He's already told you. He's not looking to get married.
Right.
Oh, man, don't blow it.
Who's going to win $10,000? We'll find out at the end of today's show. If you'd like to sway the voting, go to AdamCarolla.com. Now back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on the Adam Carolla Show.
If I was Jamie Foxx, I would be humping my way through Hollywood, getting married at about 120, maybe 130 years. Not till powdered sugar came out of my penis. would I tie it or not? That's the sound it would make. All right, let's power through this. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to declare a winner from last week. That's $500. And ultimately, in less than an hour, we will declare a winner for the month, and that will be $10,000. Let's start
out of your way right now. So I just want to say that this is $500. Is the $500 your money too, or is that the station's money?
That's the station's money.
Okay. I will put
in the 10.
It's 10 G's of Adam's money for real. So I just think that's impressive that you know that.
It's, yes, and we're not sponsored by Miller Lite or anybody else. I will cut you a check for 10 grand, and you have a little less than an hour, people, if you've been sitting on some pot of celebrity gold. Speaking of pot, William Shatner, everybody. William Shatner on the show last week. Let's hear his clip.
So here is a song that is the most annoying song ever written.
Oh, fair enough. Now, is it because...
No, it's this note right here. Ready? Ready? Papa? It's getting ready. It's getting ready. And now...
It does get kind of
annoying.
Fluffy right
Not
here.
The worst.
Yes. Now, I'm sure you've been asked this, and maybe you don't have an answer. A lot of guys get typecasted. You've transcended that, obviously, but you've also made a lot of money off Star Trek. If you had it to do over again,
I would do it instantaneously.
Well, he was a good time, and next, the great Morgan Freeman. Just remember being generally impressed with Morgan Freeman's life. I like his stance on Black History Month.
Morgan, what is your stance?
Well, I think Black History Month is ridiculous. Still a bit of a put-down.
The IMUS situation. Where do you come down on that?
Anyone who has access to the airways is going to get in trouble for statements like that.
Yes.
Well, that's just a boner.
I know.
I think you just got in trouble for saying boner. I think you've been fined $4.
I mean, we work in this business, and a lot of workplaces, if you work in a factory, they have a sign that says, days since last accident, we have days until Bonaducci and Carolla get fired because they make an off-color remark.
The bottom line on the IMA situation for me is that the man made a really abject apology. The school and the kids accepted it. End of story, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, Morgan Freeman, a phoner, but a long one and a wide open book and an interesting guy. You don't see him making the rounds very often. Now, a guy wasn't here to interview, and I don't know how that's going to weigh into my decision because I'm a huge fan of Joe Pesci's.
How often do you play golf?
I go out every day and get some sunshine, hit balls even if I don't play, and then I go to the racetrack.
Are you in any way been infected by any of your gangster characters? It just sounds like, what do you do? Well, I hang out and I get a little sunshine and then I go off to the track.
So you figure that gangsters go to the track every day?
I figure that most people have jobs and don't get to go golfing every day and then go to the track. It just doesn't seem...
Most people have jobs when they're 64 or do they retire?
McClown.
Dude, I didn't mean to offend you.
Make you laugh.
In a lot of trouble, Bonaducci.
Just asking, Danny, because you obviously have your own thoughts about how life goes.
Well, I actually have never been to the racetrack. I don't know
somebody's
how
somebody's about to tell somebody to get their effing shine box.
I'm get your f***ing shine box.
That's right. Listen, cockroach.
No, actually, I own some racehorses.
Ah.
So,
nice.
I go watch them work out or...
And what would you want Joe Pesci to be doing anyway, you know? I mean, that's exactly what I imagine. I want Joe Pesci playing golf and smoking cigars and
drinking
going to
scotch.
The racetrack.
Yeah, the racetrack. It is a rich man, poor man thing. There's the Kentucky Derby, the guys that own the horses, and then there's just the guys walk around with the cigar butt and the racing form folded up in his back pocket. All right, there was Pesci. That was a strong one. Another strong one that I wasn't here for, Terry Hatcher.
Terry, at any point when they said to you, we're doing a whole special to help starving people and people with various horrible diseases in Africa, and we'd like you to jump around and lip sync to the song Staying Alive. Did that strike you as odd?
Why does it strike you as odd?
Well, yes. It seemed a little on the nose.
Yes, Staying Alive, and it's, you know, it's the Bee Gees song. It just seems a little bit, I don't know, maybe.
People are dying.
I think when you try to get involved, and I'm involved in a lot of charity work, and I think when you try to get involved in stuff that you think will make a big difference, and certainly, you know, I applaud Idol for taking what has become, you know, a phenomenon in terms of their access to people and turning it into something that really can make a pretty spectacular difference in one night. So
yeah, that was a good thing.
I'm going to focus on that, and I'm not going to judge, you know, what songs they pick.
I'm thinking about it now, and like Night Fever would have been another bad choice.
That's bad with the malaria.
With malaria.
This show is so much better when I'm not here. I got to be honest.
Terry Hatcher is a big star.
I'm going to keep the 10 grand and just go off into the sunset. I'll give it to Kimmel, the guest host, again. All right, so there's Hatcher Pesci. Now, this last guy from last week, we're picking the week, and then we'll pick the month in about 45 minutes. Someone's getting 10 grand. Someone will get five. Maybe it'll be the same person. The last guy, Chuck Liddell, I initially said, Chuck Liddell, UFC, on the rise and everything. Not exactly a household name, not exactly Joe Pesci, and then I realized, oh yeah, he beat the snot out of Bonaducci. That was fun. Most guys, you have to beg them just to stand up. He happily threw the gloves on and started whacking away on Bonaducci's head. Let's hear that.
Somebody go ahead and say go, because I was over fast.
Wait a minute, I have a bell.
I'm very uncomfortable. You're going to get punched by this enormous
He's
man.
He's a world champion expert, and I fought Greg Brady. He's not going to kill me. What's the point?
Are you ready?
Because nobody wants Bonaducci's organs.
I said we've had 100 boxers in here. I'd had to beg them to sign a glove. Chuck is in. Chuck is ready
combos?
To go.
I'm so scared.
I know how it is.
The cardio is working. You're in great shape.
I know how it is with you fighters. It's a switch that gets thrown. Now, if you feel a garden hose, that means stop punching Bonaducci.
And our crowd is gathered. Have you seen all these guys that have gathered outside our studio?
All right, here we go. Bonaducci wants more. He's going to the fight. Bonaducci. I love guys that are just good sports and game enough to beat the crap out of
Adam,
a
this is radio.
That guy stepped up every inch until he got to the point that I fell down. He never hurt me. He was really good. But he, you know, every time I stepped it up, go, okay, I can hang. He'd just go up one more level, and that's when he hit me in the head. And then you were right about the switch, because he was super friendly and couldn't help himself. As I fell,
he tagged me in the side of the head really hard.
Right. Now, he didn't have to urinate on you once you were down. I thought he'd cross the line there, Bonaducci. But who are we to tell him how to celebrate?
The U in UFC is not for urine.
Well, that's... I always thought that started with a Y. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, I will declare a winner. Is it Shatner? Is it Morgan Freeman? Is it Joe Pesci, Terry Hatcher, or Chuck Liddell, the Iceman? And we'll do the news next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Coming up this morning on The Adam Carolla Show, someone's going to win $10,000 for booking the best guest during the month of April. Here's another Outbook August in April nominee, Eddie Griffin.
What about the levees over there in New Orleans? Do you think we blew those up?
Who's we?
The government. Do you think the government had anything to do with those levees?
There's the we. That's the one I want to hear. The government. Of course.
You think they blew up the levees?
No, Kennedy never got shot in Dallas.
So you do think they blew up the levees?
I think they did a whole lot of crap.
Really? So you think...
No wonder you had a heart attack. You're busy making this crap up at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, who cares, man? You know.
Who's going to win $10,000? We'll find out at the end of today's show. If you'd like to sway the voting, go to AdamCarolla.com. Now back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on The Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Well, is it Will Shatner, Morgan Freeman, Joe Pesci, Terry Hatcher, Chuck Liddell... Process of elimination. Chuck, nice job. Smacked around Bonaducci, but who hasn't? Yeah. let's see. All right, so I'll cross Chuck Liddell off. Hatcher, she's a TV. She's with movies. I wasn't around for her. Pesci gave Bonaducci a hard time. I didn't like that. I'm going to cross him off the lead.
Thank you.
Like, Shatner was great, but Shatner came in here to plug something very specifically, which he did a lot of plugging. And so I'll remove him, and that leaves me with Morgan Freeman. I think he wins last week.
Okay. All right, that's
right. I don't know that he wins the month. Phoner, big name, and a guy doesn't do a ton of stuff. There are guys that do a ton of stuff who are big names, and then guys you rarely see on things. Right. Morgan Freeman is a guy I just don't hear on other radio shows. So, I'm going to go Morgan Freeman for the $500. Brian, who booked Morgan Freeman, by the way?
Yeah. You're an alcoholic.
Oh, Angie.
Seriously, you are an alcoholic.
That's exciting.
Angie booked Morgan Freeman winning. This is her second time she won $500, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if congratulations are in order to a person you say alcoholic in this room and people look at her instead of me. That's a serious problem you might want to work on, darling.
Well,
seriously, you are an alcoholic.
That's $500 right or, to speak your language, 48 bottles of Crown Royal.
Wow.
T. All right. Yeah. So now, people, we're down to about 40 minutes left. If you're sitting on a celebrity, now is the time to get off the celebrity and hand them a phone or drag them into the studio. We will announce the winner of the $10,000 coming up shortly. But first, Teresa Strasser and her news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Iraqi officials say the number one guy, the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq, was killed by Sunni tribesmen. They're saying Abu Ayyab al-Mazri has been killed. U.S. officials could not confirm. They say they have to wait for DNA tests. They don't know if the guy's dead. Meanwhile, he is a guy who was endorsed by Osama bin Laden after al-Zarqawi was killed in June. Osama bin Laden, here's an interesting story about Osama. There's a guy, his name is Sher Akbar. He's from an Afghanistan village, and he looks so much like Osama bin Laden that he keeps getting arrested. This guy's now been arrested twice. He apparently has a beard. He has a large nose. He's over 6 feet tall. He's very thin. He's 50 years old like bin Laden, and he lives in Afghanistan, so where officials believe that bin Laden's been hiding. Last week, he was arrested for the second time, and, you know, there's $25 million at stake for whoever catches him, so I guess it's a horrible place to look like bin Laden.
Mm. Opposed to all those great places to look just like bin Laden.
Here's how my feeble mind works.
Yeah.
You bring up Iraq, you bring up officials, you bring up bin Laden, you bring up guys being caught over there. And my first thought is, hey, yeah, we're fighting a war. Secondly, I'm glad we caught these guys. Thirdly, I could go for some falafel. That's how I jumped. Forethought. I think I may head over to Zanku after work and grab some falafel. I immediately started just focusing on pita bread and shawarma. So I have no idea what the rest of the story was. I think I'm hungry.
Well, if you're hungry for news about immigration, here's some.
Mm.
As you no doubt heard by now, and as we talked about earlier, there are rallies and protests all over the country, including here in Los Angeles. There's one downtown that started at 8. There's another one in Koreatown. It's going to start probably in an hour or two. Mm-hmm. So you may want to be careful if you're going to be trying to drive downtown. But here
are you saying because you shouldn't go because Koreans are driving?
No, I'm saying there are going to be crowds.
Those people can't drive.
There are going to be crowds.
Oh.
And so traffic will be snarled.
Mm-hmm.
So snarled. Wow. Now, we've talked about the Middle East and
Do they expect that many people?
Yeah, there are some reports as high as 500,000. There are some that say there are going to be 20,000. It's impossible to tell, but police are prepared for 500,000 people in Los Angeles.
I'm prepared to move to Canada because here's the problem with Los Angeles. It was, 30% Hispanic 20 years ago. Now it's 50. Do the math. It'll be 75. And the more folks who come here, the more politicians have to try to win their vote by kissing their ass. So you will not be able to take a stand against anything that is against illegal immigration because your constituency will be illegal immigrants and you will have to bend to their whim.
Absolutely true.
We already have that now. That's what we have, and that's what we're going to continue to have, and eventually Southern California will become Mexico. Now, what is the difference between Mexico and Southern California, Mexico and Arizona, Mexico and Texas? What's the difference? No difference in topography, just a line going through the desert, just one thin line. It could be 100 miles our direction. We could move it 100 miles into Mexico. It's just a line. So what's the difference? I'll let you guys think about what the difference between between Mexico and this country is, and then ask yourself, who do you want to be more like? You want to be more like the place everyone is fleeing from? You want to be that? You want to be that sinking ship? Do you want to be like that sinking ship? Just think about it. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You just think about who you want to be more like, Mexico or the United States. That'll be it.
Is that a real question? I keep those just pauses
and do the math. Because when we're 90% Mexico or Mexican, we will be Mexico.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
And now go back to question A. Thank you.
Immigration, obviously a complicated issue and a quagmire. We talked about immigration. We've talked about Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And now on to something truly important.
Hold on. One more time, everybody, before everyone thinks I hate Mexicans. I love Mexicans. I don't love 50%+ anything. Cubans, Germans, French, Irish, anything. I want a mixture. I've said it before. I want the dirty dozen. I want the computer hacker. I want the knife-throwing expert. I want the second floor man. All we have now is a whole bunch of demolition experts and no face man. I want to be that man.
Right.
Wow.
It's the Ocean's 13 theory of immigration.
That's right. That's what makes you the strongest.
Melting pot.
Diversity.
It's diverse over there on The View.
That was bitching, man.
Some important news was obscured.
What happened?
Thank you for asking. Now, Rosie, as you know, has announced that she's leaving The View, and she obscured poor Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who had some news of her own.
You love this dress she's wearing.
Well, Elizabeth, it's beautiful and sparkly. I was just wondering if there's anything new, Elizabeth.
Just a couple things.
Like anything specific?
Like I'm totally 3 months pregnant.
Oh, and I'm not going to kill myself.
You think she's not going to kill herself because Rosie's leaving?
Yeah, but to be fair, it's going to take her full 18 months to physically leave any place she's at.
So if she starts now,
she has to pull the anchor chain off the moorings. We have to get tugboats to drag her through the green room.
You know, they're talking about Kathy Griffin replacing her. And I love Kathy Griffin. Mm. I think she'd be amazing on that show.
I do, too.
She'd be perfect. Maybe there's some crossover with Joy Behar.
Yeah, and I think, Kathy and I have been on the rocks ever since I tried to sort of tactfully explain that most men would rather have sex with a half a melon. than Kathy, and she didn't understand comedy and context. Yes, for someone who dishes the dirt, for Christ's sake, baby, you got to have a thicker skin.
How dare you?
But I still think of her as a dear friend.
You do?
And yes, and I would be happy to see her on The View.
Yeah, I think she would be a great addition. Courtney Love occasionally has been known to go on her website and talk about what's going on in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And the latest thing is that she's decided to start selling off Kurt Cobain's stuff.
And the good news is, too, she has a computer that has a program in it called Word Slurfic, where she can actually slur on the computer. Most people can't sound drunk on the computer. As high as Bonaducci gets, his computer still can do the spell figure things out. She actually slurs on the computer. I feel drunk when I'm reading the computer.
Here's what she wrote using her Slur Perfect software.
Word Slurfing.
Sorry.
I love that.
I'm going to have a Christie's auction. My house is like a mausoleum. We'll make a lot of money and give a bunch of it to charity. She's going to keep a few things for her daughter, 14-year-old Frances Bean, daughter of course, Kurt and Courtney. She says, quote, my daughter doesn't need to inherit a giant bag full of flannel shirts, a sweater, a guitar, and the lyrics to Teen Spirit. That's what my daughter gets, and the rest of it we'll just sell.
All right.
She went on to say, I still wear Kurt's pajamas. And then this is touching. How am I ever going to go? Well, there's a slur perfect typo, but I'll fix it. How am I ever going to go into another relationship in my lifetime wearing Kurt's pajamas?
She, by the way, dots her eye with a champagne bubble.
I wondered what that was.
Mm-hmm. That's
why I had trouble reading it.
That's right.
So if you want to buy some of Kurt's flannel shirts, I guess they'll be for sale soon.
I just want to wear my Slur Perfect headphone set in my smoking helmet and live a life of joy forever.
Yeah.
Life would just be so wonderful. You could just dictate drunk as a skunk while chain smoking.
I write that down because I think Word Slurfic would sell. I think there's a lot of drunken late night. I'm going to give my peace of mind to this company or this airline or this girlfriend that screwed me over. And you can't understand it with the current program.
I'll tell you the absolute truth, my friend. I wrote my book in longhand because I have to decipher it and I'm totally dyslexic. I mean, it really looks like a foreign language.
Is longhand a rehab center in Malibu?
No, it's a technique I use, but that's a different story. And then I dictated it into dictation software, voice recognition software. And I would drink while doing it. And when the software could no longer recognize what I was saying, that's how I knew I was done writing for the night.
See, with Word Slurfic, you can keep going into the next day.
I would write, and then I came to work, and Corolla was in a particularly good mood and was very funny. And it would sound like this. The girl's face. And it would type, and then I came to work, and the girl was in a particularly good mood and very perfect. That is Slur Perfect, and you're a genius.
Well, speaking of Slur Perfect, mazel tov to you, producer Angie, for the $500.
Yes.
Yeah, great job.
We need
seriously, you are an alcoholic.
Take a break, and we will announce a winner of the $10,000 Outbook August and April competition next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show, someone's going to win $10,000 for booking the best guest during the month of April. Here's another Outbook August in April nominee, William Shatner.
There's something about the emotional identification with the horse and the physical therapy itself. It benefits autistic kids, for example.
Yeah, I've worked with autistic kids and horses, and they say the horses are very calming and they're confidence building.
Exactly the word.
I worked with a charity for a while that brought retarded horses to look at C-list celebrities in rehab.
Who's going to win $10,000? We'll find out at the end of today's show. If you'd like to sway the voting, go to AdamCarolla.com. Now back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on the Adam Carolla Show.
I have some ponies to bring to Hasbin House this afternoon.
It's soothing.
It'd be nice if they had a halfway house for C-list celebrities.
They do. It's called Surreal Life.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're not all drunk.
Mostly. But they're all has-beens. That's what you need to be rehabbed from.
All
you
right.
You make a good living being a drunk.
Welcome to Hasbin House. Would you like some green tea? All right, so we have John Kerry, Jamie Foxx, Kobe Bryant, Eddie Griffin, Morgan Freeman, Joe Pesci, Ray Liotta, William Shatner. You see what I love? What I love about our system, everybody, is you wave 10 grand and all of a sudden people start doing their jobs. That's why Cuba...
Now we have to decide who wins this, but do we want caller input?
I would like some caller input. 866-901-ADAM. You tell us who you thought or think would be the best and should win the $10,000. Again, I don't know. I didn't want to be swayed. I don't know because of my hatred for Mike August. I didn't know. Did I say that a lot? I don't know who booked whom on this show. I don't know if it's Angie. Smart. I don't know if it's an intern. We've had interns here doing some booking. I don't want to know. I want to pick the person and then it'll be revealed who did it. Yes,
you
want to
know the people that are in the
who's
running.
In the yes. mix? Who's
running,
in the
of course,
mix?
Is Angie and Mike August. It's Bruiser Angie, Mike August. Our intern David and a listener Noel are the four people who comprise the list of people.
Mm-hmm. Ah. So I would be, and again, this is why I don't want to know and don't remember. David is obviously the poorest. He's the intern yes. here. He told me his girlfriend dumped him and he had to return the engagement ring and he got taken to the cleaners because he spent five times as much on the engagement ring. And then when he tried to sell it back, he didn't get anything back. Yeah, very sad case. Very sad yet funny case.
How'd you get all that out of him? He said three words to the rest of us.
People have a way of opening up to me, which I can't stand. Other people look at it as flattering. I look at the ground for a reason, people. I don't want you to open up to me. Just want to open a can of beer and call to life, everybody. I don't want you to open up to me.
Now, there is a kind of a, you know how you always say do the math?
Mm-hmm.
You alluded to this earlier, so I guess it's not a secret. Our ratings have come in, and it would seem to me that there are, by my calculation, since you started Outbook August with your own 10 Gs, there are tens of thousands of more listeners than the day
yes, are
it
we
started.
Allowed, are we allowed to say that our ratings are up? Or is that is there
that's
more to
that's what I was just saying right there.
Are we allowed to?
See how that was working?
Yeah, you did that.
Tens of thousands you did that nice.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about ratings, as you've heard me say over and over again. The only reason I want ratings is so I don't have to talk about ratings and don't have to listen to idiots, because when you have bad ratings, then everyone gets a vote. Right. And when you have great ratings, no one can talk to you.
Harry Potter's retarded cousin.
There
I'll
you
say
go,
this,
Jack
though.
Silver.
They are up, and thank you to people for tuning in.
Thank you. Yes, and I will honor my pledge never to talk about ratings, but I would like to mention that we're doing very well everywhere we're at. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
And now let's never bring it up again.
One caveat to that, yes. Please. You're out of the room. Teresa said, are we going to mention that our ratings are way up?
I didn't know if you'd want us
and
to.
And Brian said, I don't know. Carol is not comfortable with that kind of stuff.
He said there was no moratorium.
He thinks it's self-serving and he wouldn't do it. And I'm sitting right here, right? And then they say, well, Bonaducci will do it.
I didn't even know what happened.
I'm sitting right here, you guys.
It was so subtle.
You can call me a pig when I'm out of the room. Oh. But okay, since you did, our ratings are kicking ass, and thank you very much.
Yes, and I'll
yeah, you can go back to not mentioning it.
I'll make an exception to my rule, because I think a lot of people out there were mistakenly thought that they were doing horribly and we'd be kicked off the air and so on and so forth. We're doing just great. Thank you. No problem. We'll stay on the air for a good long time. And now, let's never speak of it again.
Done and done.
All right. Teresa.
Yes.
You've been checking the online voting.
Yes.
What do you
got? By the way, thank you for listening and thank you for going on to AdamCarolla.com, which a lot of people did. We got a lot of votes. One person is way out ahead of the pack. Should I tell you who it is?
No. Let's tease it. We'll take your calls. We have people lined up here on the phone. Some say I got Eddie Griffin should win. I got Morgan Freeman should win. $10,000 will be given out of my cash. We'll also hear with the people the unofficial online poll, because it could be the same person doing it more than once. We have no idea, but hey, God bless you. We will come back. We will award the 10 grand. We will hear what you have to say, and we'll do that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time to name a winner for Outbook August in April. It's come down to this. After a month of big guests, someone is going to win $10,000 of Adam's money. Let's just hope it's not August, because it's his job. Call 866-901-ADAM. Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Controversy last time we played.
I remember that. I don't know what we were talking about. It,
wow. $10,000 of my money. My accountant is going to be delighted. I know he's a Mark and Brian fan, so when I call him, he's going to be surprised. But I'm going to cut somebody a check for $10,000. Now, we have your votes. We have ultimately my vote. I don't know if it's August or if it's Angie or if it's intern David or Noel.
Yeah.
Noel is a listener who brought one of the guests forward. I can't remember which one, so It's going to make it exciting for me, too. Noel is also what Ozzy says when he eats bad flap steak. Thank you. T?
Yeah, you want to know what happened?
You have the results of the online voting?
Yeah, AdamCarolla.com. We had some online voting, and there's one guest who was way out ahead of the others.
Hey, before you name them, can you, like, give the numbers, like, the difference and the discrepancies
in
the numbers?
Yeah, the leader... it has 36% of the vote, and second place has only 10%.
Mm-hmm. Wow, okay, so it's not dicey. It's not like maybe.
The top, you want to hear the top four on Adam Carolla?
Let's hear the top four.
In no particular order, they are Ray Liotta, Joe Pesci, William Shatner, and Morgan Freeman.
Mm-hmm. Brent from Fresno, how say you, my friend?
How you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Good, man.
Who would you cast your vote for?
You know what? I think it's Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. Okay. Yeah. Noted. Yeah. Noted. Eddie over here begs to differ from Las Vegas. Eddie?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Who do you have for us, Eddie?
Well, it was a tough one, but I'm going to have to go with Liddell.
Mm-hmm.
He hit the focus mitts and punched on Bonaducci for a little bit. And
he did everything but empty the garbage and service Teresa.
I know, and I think he would have if you asked.
And it's exactly what it would have been to you, servicing
a
well.
Like a
needed that
guy.
Check engine light's been on.
I usually just ignore the light.
No, you've been driving on that check engine light for way too long.
A year, 3 months, but who's counting?
All right, so you say Chuck Liddell. Chuck Liddell. Chuck Liddell's one of these guys where you go, Chuck Liddell's UFC. Yeah, he's not a real celebrity. You get him on the show, the phone lines light up.
Yeah, that's true. Plus, he was on Entourage on Sunday.
Yet Merriweather, one of the greatest fighters in the world, didn't want to play at all with the focus mitts. He's one of the most dangerous real-life fighters in the world. Took a chance. He didn't know I'm not going to sue you. When he punched me on the way down, he didn't know I'm not going to sue him. He didn't know what I'm made of.
Right.
That guy really played and played hard. I liked him.
Mark?
Yes. Hey, Teresa, first of all, you working with these two guys, you're like the white lines on a baseball field, darling.
Oh, thank you.
I like that.
I have no
that.
Idea what the
That's
hell that
sweet.
Means, but all right.
Controlled chaos.
That's right.
What? Thank you.
It's got to be Eddie Griffin. I mean, if the only thing causing a fist fight to not break out between him and Bonaducci was him not promoting Undercover Sister.
Wow, I'm going to book you as our
guest.
Thank
you, Mark. That's it. See, Eddie Griffin was on the show, and maybe not the biggest celebrity, not bigger than Morgan Freeman, but controversial and eager for the fray. All right, T, who won the online
Well, by the way, Eddie Griffin only got 1% of the online votes.
See?
Not popular online.
Mm-hmm.
You know who's very popular?
Hmm.
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
He won by a mile.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, number two, Joe Pesci. Number three, Ray Liotta. Number four, William Shatner.
It all comes down to the man now, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, I have no problems when I say, you know, when somebody asks me a question, I say, because I know what I signed when I signed to work on the Adam Carolla show. But this is one of those times where I couldn't be more friggin' pleased.
Phone lines are lighting up. According to Kyle, phone screener Kyle, he's getting tons of callers that say Morgan Freeman should win.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm glad I don't know who booked Morgan Freeman. I don't know if it was intern David. I don't know if it was Angie. I don't know if it was the much maligned Mike August. I don't know who that 10 grand is going to.
If it was Mike August, did he book himself to accept?
That's a good point.
I don't see him.
I don't know where Mike August is either, although he was banned from the building.
Oh, that's right.
I beg Jack Silver not to fire Mike August after he went in there and destroyed Jack Silver's office. And Jack said, don't worry, I won't fire Mike August with two small caveats. A, he's not allowed in the building, and B, you have to pay him.
Well, could he have booked himself a phoner?
It would be nice if he could book himself. Okay, let's take a break. My panties are in a bunch here. I'm going to give out $10,000. I know not to who just yet, but I promise. We will have an answer next on the Adam Carolla Show. Well, we're about out of time, and that means we're about out of time for the month of April. $10,000 is going to be given away. We have intern David, who was dumped and had to return the engagement ring for one-fifth of what he paid for, even though he told me never speak about it on the air.
Oh, no. I wasn't dumped. It was a mutual thing.
I wish you weren't a liar.
Yeah, I tell myself.
I just wish you weren't a liar.
You need to get more chicks.
Angie?
I'm getting dumped and I can handle it because there's just more chicks.
Angie, rotate the lampshade to the hole part so we can hear you.
Right
there you go.
That's
there you go, baby.
Okay.
All right, we have Angie in here who booked one of the guests, and then Mike August, and also caller Noel. I don't know who did John Kerry, Jimmy Foxx, Kobe Bryant, Eddie Griffin, Morgan Freeman, Joe Pesci, Ray Liotta, William Shatner. Drum roll, though.
What a month. What a month of bookings.
Yes.
Do you feel confident, Mike August?
Three Oscar winners, four Golden Globe winners.
We're all...
Come on. The guy with the most votes in the history of our country for president.
And the real winners. You, the listeners.
Nicely said, man.
All right. $10,000 is coming out of my pocket, and I've listened to what the people had to say both on the phone and online. I'm going with Morgan Freeman.
Oh, wow.
Morgan Freeman.
Yay.
Whoever booked Morgan Freeman is going to win $10,000.
She tastes like champagne.
Who booked Morgan Freeman? Angie?
Yes. Holy
producer Angie.
Congratulations.
$10,000, everybody.
Wow.
And well deserved. I hope you choke on it. Well, there you go. Producer Angie. $10,000. I want to thank, who? Yes, Lynn and Alex from The Amazing Race, lynnandalexworld.com, and Celebrity Gossip website. That is their website. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. I would like to thank you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess someone's going to be buying a round for the after-show meeting. Congrats.
A round of cars.
And David. David, nice job. And Mike August.
Go home and get your f***ing shine box.
What about those guys?
What you should have been doing all along. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
I smell vagina.